I think just recap what we did on Shabbos. We're talking about the. So I have some people here that hopefully remember what we did. But the main we start off with the idea that the Parsha of Bilam really is that it teaches you the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's really what the Torah Nevi'im teaches us, the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the things you see from the Parsha, Muchach from the Parsha, is that God never interferes with the will of a person, like the Rambam says. So, of course, that's why God didn't simply, whatever Bilam would want to do, let's say he wanted to give a call, God could simply go into his mind and change it. I mean, that's it. I mean, there's a Kol Yochel. So God could do that. So why didn't he do that? But the answer is, like Rambam says, that God does, that certain things are God's will. His will is not to interfere with the Bechira of his Brios. So therefore, you have the whole account of where he goes up and back, so to speak, I mean, behind the scenes, where what he wants to determine what he wants to do, and ultimately he says that he tells the Chulat. Okay, and then, but then later he says, So Rashi says, and if they came for your Imakriya Shalach, and Mikolachobonashim, Kum Lechita. Okay. So that's what God told him, a tzivu, gave him a tzivu, was a tzivu. It means he could have done either way. So God gave him a tzivu. Because God doesn't interfere with his will, but he gave him a tzivu. Okay. So it says Vayakam Dom Babaka Vayakar Sasano, then it says the Yichafala Kim Kiholechu. So what happened over here? What happened over here? So the answer is apparently that the emphasis of it is kiholech. That was v'yichafal kim kiholech. What was the problem with kiholech? Kiholech was that he changed his mind. He was v'yachem b'lom b'boker, v'yachrosh es asano, and what if Chazal say? I mean, he was so excited, he was chavish zon or zon asan. The kam shasim makakal zeshura shachavishu ba'atma. So he was completely involved, and there was takva yitro, and because of that, the next pasuk says v'yichachal kim kiolach, because this was a different olach. Now he was going with the intention of violating the tzibur. Okay, yeah. So that was what brought about the whole Sipra Maisa with the Asa. So what was the event with the Asan? The event with the Asan was to show Bilam that he to remove him from the state. Okay, to show Bilam that he's making a big mistake. He's making a big mistake. How did Hashem make a big mistake? Because the Asan was acting on his behalf. And he drew a false conclusion about the Asan. You see, and that was Vayistach Hashem's Pi Asan. Okay? Because what happened was, they had those three events over there. So first he hit the Asan Atosuvadarabadorach, and then it was Gotamizah, then his foot got caught in the between the donkey and the wall, Vayaswakaza, and then the third time, where he Vatirbatsachas Balam, Vayichachom Vayachasas Mamaka. Okay. Then Vayiftacharashim Spiesim and Tamar, Vatamar Vulam Nala, Sisim Lachaki, Kisan is a Shoshu Gaon. Vayoma Vulam Lassam Kisalalti, we are Shah Gedikatorak, and Tamar Vulam Lassam Kisalalti, we are Shah Gedikatorak, and Tamar Vulam Lassam Kisalalti, So the Asan showed Bilam that he was simply irrational, completely irrational. He drew a false conclusion. He should have said, just a second, doesn't make any sense. This Asan is always a good Asan, and something must be wrong. He said. So, but he never assumed that possibility didn't occur. And he simply decided to hit the Asa. Why? Because of his fervor and his desire to accomplish his mission. So the Nevuah, the Mari HaNevuah of the Asa showed him, it doesn't make a difference really, but the event showed him that he is in a position where he's making decisions hastily, without any rationality, and that not only that, but in this state of mind, the decision-making process could lead to his own death. So it was an interesting thing. And then that's really, and once he saw that, so he realized that this emotion, it was Yitzhak Tachva. He got all excited, and he was excited about the end of the end goal. He's going to get the honor, the cover, and then the money, and the whole success, the whole package. And he drew him, it was Yitzhak Tachva, and this was a tremendous thing. Something unbelievable, very big thing in his life. So that emotion caused them to fail to analyze the situation. He didn't even analyze the situation, actually. He never cut. He just immediately reacted. So this showed Bilam, the Mariam showed Bilam that this emotion, the nature of the emotion that you're under its power is that it completely blocks out your thinking, rationality. Completely blocks out your rationality. Not only does it block out your rationality when you're making a mistake vis-a-vis this situation with the Yosan, but actually there is far greater harm over here that you don't even realize that would befall. You see, that you're in a position. In other words, when a person makes an irrational judgment, so the irrational judgment really seems to be limited to the case itself. But it's not true, because an irrational judgment results on the irrational side, there are many hidden dangers that the individual, you see, doesn't realize, which are a result of the irrationality. And the person simply can't follow the chain because he's only human being, he can't acknowledge it. But an irrational move can hide behind it many, many harmful situations. See, where the person doesn't realize. And that's basically what the Maya Hall was. What the incident showed him, that it was not only did he make an irrational decision, this is really awesome, but the awesome was really protecting him. So that, from his own death. So he would have died. He would have ceased to exist. So the irrationality caused him to act in a way which would have resulted in his own complete destruction, just based upon a simple mistake. Because he should have thought that the Asan doesn't do this, and perhaps the Asan sees something he doesn't see. You see? And that something was a tremendous danger. So the whole unraveling of the Yitzhak Hashem's Piyasa, and the whole thing was really to teach him an unbelievable idea. namely to show him that he's under the power of this emotion, and this emotion causes at first seemingly innocuous misdecisions, innocuous errors. But those innocuous errors are only on the surface.
Yeah.
Underneath those errors are dangerous, dangerous water. I mean, he's in a very dangerous place, and he can lose his own life because of that simple, superficial mistake, which was caused by the overpowering emotion. That's the lima from the mind of all. But it's not just lima for Bill. It's a lima for us also. I mean, that's true. That once a person acts under the sway of an emotion, there's much harm that he doesn't realize. The first decision may be with regard to something unimportant. But because of that unimportant error, he puts himself in a position where he could suffer tremendous harm, real harm, serious harm. Because the error, in the case of the arson, is perfect. As I showed you, he simply didn't analyze what is happening here. To analyze the arson, see something that I don't see. That's a tremendous danger. So the failure to analyze the first step is what causes a person's undoing. So we mentioned really that that's the mistake in a person and in most people's Derech HaChaim in general, that they fail to analyze the Derech HaChaim. And what do they lose? And what they lose really, in triple times, is the possibility of having the greatest life, which is the life cover. But the emotional force, the attraction, it's the same thing like Bill. There's no difference. I mean, it's the attraction to the illusion of success and of his fantasy, satisfying the fantasy, is what results in the individual making a mistake in the first place in a small way. It starts off and it's a small error, superficial error, but that superficial error results in ultimately in the greatest harm. That's really the limit. That's the beautiful limit. Yeah. So but also we mentioned the way it unravels is very precise. That in the first, of course, there are three instances. In the first one, the arson is the arson simply went off the main road went off its course, small deviation. But then the second one was much more harmful because it went into the wall and it hurt him. And Vayosef Lakasa. And the third one was where he simply Vatirbatz Tahas Polad Bilam, it simply decided to cease to function. And that was the worst for him because he wanted to get there. You see, you know, he wanted to get there. So, but the three things, you see, the three things are very interesting. What do the three things show you? The three things show you the way of the emotion. The way of the emotion is it showed him, first of all, that he repeatedly failed to analyze it. And that's really the Derech of the Rosh. That Derech of the Rosh is that once he starts going, instead of seeing he's making a mistake, what he does is he thinks he didn't persist enough. He didn't persist enough in his path. That's why Chazal say, "Rishayim afilu v'pischo shel gehenna meinam chashem b'tshuva." Because they just keep thinking that they didn't use what their original plan was enough. They need more. By Yosef Lakasa. That's the pasuk. By Yosef Lakasa. That's what I mean. So basically, it showed him in all three times that he failed instead of analyzing. He had another. He refused every time to analyze and just kept going stronger and applying his method. But that is true. That is the Atzas Yetzirah. Atzas Yetzirah is not complete irrationality. There's a rationale for it. You didn't do it enough. You need more. and persist in the original approach. Original approach is good, but you need more. Yes?
So maybe we could be not a rocking approach, but we'll have
them. Well, we'll get to that. Not yet, but another reason why he had the three times. Two reasons for three times. First of all, to show him, like we said, that he repeatedly commits the same error. But secondly, it showed him how far he went in his error. That it brought him to the point where he wanted to destroy the animal, you see, which was simply to harm his possession and that thing which wanted to save his life. See, it reached the point of ultimate absurdity. You see, the point that's what the Marian of Allah disclosed to him. How an emotion can lead a person to do the crazy, completely craziest thing in the eyes of reality. That's why Yigal, as we say, by Yigal at Hashem Asayne Zalon. So then he saw reality. And once he saw reality, he realized that how crazy how much he deviated and how crazy his activities became. Insane activity. It's an amazing thing. He was fortunate. He had by a gallon of Shemus in the door. That's it. So he was able to see reality. Ordinary people don't have that opportunity. But they never see it. So what?
You mentioned how that was Rashi.
So which one is that? Yeah. So,
second
Rashi,
the second one.
Okay. Next Rashi, Moshe. Rosh Rabbeinu, meant that he was under the influence of that emotion where he would violate the tzibur. So Rashi says, L'satnum lo, malach shol rachman moye, v'yirotza l'mona milachto, shlo yecheta v'yoleh. So apparently, what would have happened, what Rashi is saying is that he would have been destroyed. Because he would have been destroyed, because since he was going to be over the Tzivui, and God would not allow him, so he would have been destroyed, he would have died. So it was Malach Shel Rachamim that saved him. It's Chesed Hashem. Chesed Hashem means Malach Rachamim, means a Chesed Hashem which operated through a specific cause, which is the Malach, which means he was deserving of Chesed Hashem.
What does
Satan mean? Satan is the Zuyetzer, that's a good question. Zuyetzer is the Malach Malach.
Right.
It was
the Malach
that...
What? It was the Malach that set it up.
Yeah.
Because the Malach placed himself in a certain position, and he also, therefore, drove that way. And it was both. It was the Malach, and the Malach, and we started off with Satan, meaning that if it weren't for the Malach, he also never would have followed off the death.
That's correct. Over here, it doesn't mean that. Rashi's saying it was Satan lo. It was for him. It wasn't a Satan in ordinary sense. Was Satan lo means it was for his benefit to cause him to bother him. Bother him. Satan means Satan always means something that's bothering him. It's like I said by Shlomo Melech. God set up one of the kings that's got a Satan lo. They always bothered Shlomo. Like they couldn't get rid of him. Always annoying him, subtle. So that's what means, interfere, that's what I mean. Rashi's saying that the event of satan lo over here means that it means on his the extra word lo, should be satan. But satan lo over here means it was for his, it was Mal Sharach. I thought his Baruch was Merachim on, and he didn't deserve to die. So apparently, that's an interesting thing. So apparently, you see, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God does not interfere with the Bechira itself, or the human being's Bechira, but he does set up a situation where the person can gain insight can gain insight into himself. But the question is why? I mean, in a rush at this. He made an evil decision. He decided he was going to ready to be over that sequence. So why should he deserve rachamim? I mean, that's the question. So that's what I wanted to say, that the answer is that apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals differently with a person if it's Yitzro Tukfal than if it's an ordinary, because ordinarily the person is Bechira, Baruch Hu Bara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to set up a situation to say, you know, it's all Bechira. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So why don't we say over here that he was Baruch Hu Bara, that Bilam was Baruch Hu Bara? But the answer is he wasn't Baruch Hu Bara, because he really intended, and that's really the whole account, the whole sipur. Amaisa, he really intended, as he said. And by the way, he wasn't an ordinary Russian. And to understand what his rishis is not simple. He wasn't an ordinary Russian, because he said, you know, what is the Russian says? And you can evolve from all basal kesses all. I showed you what he wanted. But nevertheless, he said, "Lo ucha lavar spiad Hashem alekoy, Hashem alekoy, masas kitano gedola." Wasn't an ordinary person. I mean, he felt he had a relationship to God, and he would not be open. Okay, masas kitano gedola doesn't make any difference. So you see that he, when he was in his normal frame of mind, he wouldn't be over it. But what happened was that he got very excited, and he saw him Rabban ben Achbodin and the whole situation, and with Kal Yisrael and everything. Because of that, he was thrown into a situation of Yitzro Tako. So apparently, sees Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even a Russia, but he's entitled to live his life and to exercise his Bechira in the way that he was intended to exist. A certain amount of years, a certain amount of time, and he has a certain amount of time to chazak tshuva, and it's not simple, the Mishpat Hashem is not simple, so you see that the Mishpat Hashem over here was that he deserves chesed to continue to exist at this point, and he has an evil intention, but it's Yitzhak Tachba. I think it's a chazak somewhere that says that an avera that a person does, because he's, in the moment he's gripped by Kaiva, the moment, it's a different matter, Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't done in the same way. He's not guiltless, I mean, he's still responsible, but it's a different kind of responsibility. Yitzhak Tachal is in the situation, and HaKadosh says there's no real thing of Yitzhak Tachal, because Ein Adam Chote Olchim Nechnas Baruch Shtos. So a person can always have the excuse of this situation, that situation. Yeah, but the fact is, it's Ruch Shas. And Ruch Shas was Nechmas in that. So, but nevertheless, in spite of that, and he's called, he's responsible. But even though he's responsible, it's a different kind of a chet. So if it were a chet, a calculated Bechira chet, then you wouldn't deserve the Nevoah to open up his eyes. And to remove him from the situation of danger to himself, but because it was a different kind of a chet, that it was he was overpowered emotionally because of the situation. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was merachem on him, and the malach of the nevuah was appointed. To give him the opportunity. He said, to give him the opportunity. That's what that's basically what the passage that the Midas HaKadosh is teaching Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I mentioned before, the idea of Bilam is that he was a complex individual, that he wasn't really Roy for Nevuah on his own, but he had the intellectual capacity for it. He had the ability. And he had the intellect. He was a great intellect, great genius. And when he was under the sway of the Nevuah, he saw everything very clearly. But he didn't reach that perfection because of his own exercise of Bechira, proper exercise of Bechira. So he was an instrument and a vehicle of nevuah. He was nevuah as a chet, not as a gavra. Vayikra. Means not as a gavra. He didn't deserve it. Yes.
You see, the moment he made a decision, by Yelach and Sarai Moab, Rosh said, we go to Levon Shavah. At that point in time, there was one point in time where he did with the mind of them. Rashi in the Pasuk Kabbalah.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. I'm sorry, very good. Yeah. Rashi says, Libo Kalibam Shava. That's when he went to violate.
Right.
That's when he went to violate. But it shows you the Chesed Hashem, and that's true in a person's life also. That even though it's true that not everything is Ashtaka Pratis, but you can't say there's no Ashtaka Pratis, I mean, that's fair. So sometimes a person is in the grips of the Yetzer Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send a Malach HaRachamim. So create a situation where he sees that something occurs and he sees, wait a minute, just a minute, I'm making a mistake here. I'm in the grips of an emotion. Now, what am I doing? So that's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can learn, you can extrapolate from the case of Bilam to a general case, even an ordinary person that's Mavakesh Hashem, that's looking for the truth, looking for the emes. And such a thing can occur. That such a thing can occur. But it will only occur if the person is looking for it. If the person doesn't notice it, I mean, it's not going to have any value. He won't have any experience where he sees he was about to make a disaster, a small error on the surface, which could be disastrous, completely disastrous. So that could happen. It could happen to a person. It's a chesed Hashem. Could happen to if it extends to Bilam and Rasha. It could extend to a person that's mevakesh emes. So that's midas hakadosh baruch hu. That's a great, tremendous limud from the parsha. Tremendous limud from the parsha. The person has to be aware. He has to be able to uncover the idea and the mistake of the error and be in a position. And to leave momentarily into a tarpa, to leave it, to abandon it momentarily, they will see it. But that is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clear from the tzur. And even though in terms of Bechira itself, there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never interfere, and his will is never to interfere. And if the person is a true Bocher Barah, that's it. Mishalim Rasha Kafi Masa. I mean, that's clear. Notice it. Same Rasha Raka Rishasa. So that's then it's too late. But in this case where people are in the grips of a power, a person's caught in the grips of a powerful emotion, even though he still is responsible, he can't escape by saying it's not an excuse. But nevertheless, it's a different kind of a chayk and a different kind of a mida that he's dealt. Definitely, he's treated with different mida. That's really the limit of it. That's the limit of the pasha. That's the limit of the pasha. So. Yeah, we answered what was missing one.
Yeah,
I'm very good.
Then you have the Rashi that you want to deal with, where he said, that statement.
You see, though, that so the parsha is based on yourself. Parsha is based on yourself, and when you study the parsha based on the yisodos, the underlying ideas. So there's one thing that stands out. Why did Bilam, after he had the whole galus, I mean, and he saw the whole thing, so why did he say, "Vayyama Bilam Malach Hashem Chatas"? Because Malach Hashem is the same thing he's saying to God, and it's the same thing. Ki lo yadati ki ata nisa v'grosim adarach. He's saying to the Baruch, he's saying to God. Okay. So, why do you say that? That stands out as a question. Because the whole thing was really to put him back in track. And now, once he had this Mara, and when he saw the grips and the power of the emotion, and he was able to overcome it, and with his intellect, and with his chachma, then he wasn't in danger of not exercising his bechira in the proper way. And he would listen to the tzivui Hashem. After all, it sounds simple. Simple for him. But it's a very difficult thing. I mean, he's in front of the most powerful forces that move every human being. The whole world is moved by the grandeur, the greatest people in the world. I mean, are standing around him. And he's in a position where they expect him to deliver. And you have to understand what kind of a messianist is. And he's spitting in their face, basically. And his whole reputation and everything is at stake. It's an unbelievable situation to realize, you know? You just read through the parasha, it sounds very simple. Somebody, hey, look, not so simple. Not so simple. The most powerful emotions of man are involved in this situation, precisely this situation where the Torah portrays as a dog. All the Sarim Moab, and they're all waiting, and they're praising him, and this is his strength, and his whole power, and his whole essence. And they're saying, now show us what you can do, we'll reward you, honor you, the greatest man in the world. And he not only turns him down, but he basically acts in a way where they despise him, and they look down at him, and he walks away in complete disgrace. I mean, it's an unbelievably hard thing to do. And you see, he did it. You see, he did it. I'm not saying it was, and it was his will. It was his behavior. You see, he was not an ordinary person. Not an ordinary person. That was not talking about a simple person.
Why
do you advise him? You estimate him and just push him away. I mean, how many people stand up in the sun? His whole life. And he wasn't the person who was afraid he's going to get struck by lightning. I mean, that's right. You know what I mean? Like an infantile person. So he could have died. He could have, I'll take all my sins. That's it. The highest cover. And also you have to realize that there are feelings of loyalty also. A lot of things. Feelings of loyalty towards a person that raises you up, and praises you, and honors you. You know, you have feelings of, you want to help them, and you want to help them. They're in a dangerous situation. You feel for their plight. I mean, you want to be helpful. A lot of emotions about that. And to be able to overcome all those emotions and just do something which is despicable in their eyes is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. And he was able to do it.
Well, they did give them.
I'm not trying to say it was a tzaddik. What I'm saying is that the Torah does not like do what everybody wants to do.
Right.
Brandon, Russia, this one bigger, that one smaller. But there is not, there's an infantile way of looking at the human being in life. There is showing you that Bilam is a complex individual. Not so simple. You don't understand Bilam so simple. He's a complex individual. On the one hand, he showed the greatest God also to be able to do it. On the other hand, you see, yes. I said, what was not under the tzibui, he went and he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. I mean, he gave them the eighth of the Adam destroyed. Same time, simultaneously. Cannot understand himself. Not a simple person. But you can't take away from what he did. He can't do that either. You can't just take away from his accomplishment. But he's not tough. I'm not saying he's tough.
He realized this. What's the point?
So the question is, if this is the explanation, and this seems to be clearly what's unraveling in the psukim over here, why does it say Imra Beinecho Shuvo? Right, what's Imra Beinecho Shuvo? No, it's not Ra. He has to do like Kosh Bolot only for all. This is a Dover Sher, a Dover Lachos's daughter. Right? So what is the statement? Rabbi Nachman Shuvah. Doesn't make any sense. Right? I mean, now he accomplished pulling himself out from under the sway of the emotion. So now he's back to normal mental function. So now he can go. Okay, and exercise the Bechir Prabhu. So what is he saying, Rabbi Nachashua? See, so Rashi picked it up. See, Rashi picks it up. And he says, I said Rashi is about the same question. He says, Lahasris negra mocha, he chooses it. See, on the surface, say, what is Lahasris negra mocha? What did Rashi get it from? because Rashi's following the underlying ideas. So Rashi sensed, Rashi knew, Chazal, Mahasras Negan Amakam in Chibuzu. Amalo, Hubatmo Tivani Lorechas, Mata Malach Mapatalis Devorah, Lom Rubakash, Shoma Dovo Malach Machzero. Amalat Rom Kachmas Dinkova Vaidin Malach Bikulas Devorah. Achani in Rabbe Einecho, Sorachani Losha. You see? So he said that that's it. He changed his mind. Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind from that. Okay, something happens, some event, and he changed his mind, and I have to be careful. So he said, he's willing to comply with God's will, and if it's bad, that's it. He'll give it up. He'll give up the whole thing. But Rashi, so it sounds like a good thing, like a nice thing. But Rashi has no lahasras. That's lahasras negin amakam. What does Rashi mean? Why it means to speak? Lahasras negin amakam means to spitefully go against God. Okay? Yeah, what does he mean? What does Rashi mean? But on the same time, he subordinated himself to God. He says, Ashuvu. But what it means is that, you see, he couldn't accept. It's very hard. It's amazing that the Torah does it, Chazal, but it's very hard to describe what's going on in a person's mind. You know what I mean? In terms of the Bechira. But Chazal do it in a way where, I mean, they leave it to put together. But it can't be, precision is not possible. You just get certain factors, certain elements. But what the Chazal are saying over here is simply that, you see, this experience he had, he should have been very thankful after the experience. He should have been simply kido nashtachavaya and gone on his way. So, because appreciation that he had this chos that he was able to receive with the not completely chesed Hashem to save my life. Yeah, something changed also. Something else evolved. Something changed also. So that's why he said, Imrabe Nechar Shuvavu. What it meant was that he had in the back of his mind, he harbored an erroneous notion about God. That God doesn't always, sometimes things change. And it could be that this whole Mayan of Vua was not simply, of course, he understood, he derived the Lima from the Mayan of Vua, but there could be something else behind it also. That there was a change here. There was a change. So that was Lahasras Negan Amakam, the wrong idea of God. Why did he have this wrong idea? Because he couldn't face the fact that he was totally to blame. So he was totally at fault. And that this emotion just gripped him like a crazy emotion, an insanity, and he could not admit it. So, and that's why the whole mind of what took place. He couldn't attribute it completely to his own failing. You see, so he tried to say maybe something changed also here. That would be a mitigating circumstance. It's true, everything that happened in the story answered is true, 100% of 100, but he was hope. He was hope. Maybe there's something else there. Maybe there was also a change, and really, this is the way that God is showing me the wonderful ideas, but he really doesn't want me to go. Really, now his will changed. And that's really why this happened. Not simply because he was in the grips of the emotion and it's chesed Hashem. Right? He didn't want to see that. Didn't want to see that. So that was the Rabbi Nachashon. He still was looking for a way out to somehow or other redeem himself. That it wasn't an experience that he was totally blameworthy because he was caught up in the grips of the crazy emotion. Right. Of the illusion. The fantasy. So he was hoping kind of that maybe God really doesn't want him to go now altogether. And that's part of what's going on over here. And then you could describe it to that. That's what he was hoping. That's what he was hoping.
Right. You come to that realization once God said no, keep on going?
Then once God said, oh no.
Did he realize
that
he wasn't only blameful?
Yes, well, he had no escape then. He had no escape. I mean, he wasn't a fool. Yeah, you see, the Russia is not the pshat. Well, he was a great chacham, but you see where it keeps on going. The inclination is trying to get back to where basically his real desires are. Okay? So it keeps his shifting back, but then of course you're shifting back the other. But the subtlety of the mental phenomena that took place in his mind disclosed a force in a negative direction. And he's going to reassert it. He was, if he wouldn't have been that way, he would have been a tzaddik, apparently. He couldn't, he kept on going back to that. To his own, what a chazal said, his, where they say was Rubo Gas. The chazal say were from the Superman. It says, Rashi says that what? That, the Ibn Ezra we had, right? That, or was it Rashi says? He said to the people, because God doesn't want me to go with you. Oh, yeah, Shmuel Ha'iti Gamma Hamalel. Right, the first time. Right? Yeah. By Yochum first told him, he says, Mina Paul Lila, right? And then he says, then got on Loselachimam, Losar Son Givarah. So that was Loselachimam, Losar Son Givarah meant in terms of the Tzibur. There was no Tzibur. Later he said, in Likra Lacha, if you want to go for yourself, you can go. But the first Tzibur was Bunker, meant there's no reason to go, no objective reason to go. That meant there's no objective reason to God. Okay. Then, but when he answered them, you see? So Rashi says, Ella and Sorum Gedola Mikam, Lamadmi Sharucha Gavala, Lo Rotsa Lagala Shehubushusa Shomar, Ella Balashan Gassos, Rafika, Fayosa Vodbala. So he thought they wouldn't persist anymore, apparently. So he said, why do I have to leave off in a way that I don't look good? And I'm not going to go. So I don't have to, tell them that I have no rishush to go, because that takes away from my greatness. So he pushed it over. He said, it's not necessarily that I can't go. It's that it's really not the nevuah doesn't want me to go with you. Let's put it that way. Because you're not worthy. So he left off in a way where his pride was instated. That was his, in a subtle way, just saying next word, He wants us to reveal that he's subordinated completely. So he left it off in a kind of ambiguous way that it sounded like, it didn't detract from his control of the situation. That he's simply defeated. He didn't want to walk away. So he left it off in there. Didn't say a lie. I mean, this is not true. But you see, he was careful in his formulation that he walked away looking good. So you might as well walk away looking good. Walk away like they're just like a serpent. Same thing as always. Okay? So that was, but then, so he thought that that's going to be it. He left it subtly that way. But they picked up something because they were very pressed. So Yosef Rodbola, he is a smart man, and he picked up. Just a second, okay? That was it? All right, let's try this. Okay? So he didn't expect. He just, it was a subtle way of leaving off in a, with retaining his prestige. Okay? And he figured out the end of it. But they really wanted it. So if you want something, you listen to it. What do you say? What's that going to say? All right, that's it? Okay.
Very good.
But yes, a footballer. They found themselves in the same predicament again. So I want to get back. So you see, there was Libo Goss. That he had that Libo. And that's why he couldn't admit that the Mari HaNavua was completely because of his error. Because he was a fool. He was caught up in an emotion. So he couldn't admit that. It's trying to say that it could be there's just another way he gave me the limud, but really behind the scenes is that he changed his mind. Okay? And behind the scenes he changed his mind. So that would remove from him the feeling that he was totally in error. There's something else behind here. Yes, sure, the limud, I'm wrong. But the fact is that's not the sole cause for this whole event. That makes him feel better. The emotions are funny. The emotions don't necessarily work. They don't work logically, but there is a logic to the way they work. You know what I mean? So therefore, what's the difference? Well, the fact that you see man was there, yeah, but he feels better. That's what it means. He feels better because the whole thing didn't happen only because it happened. It happened because God changed his mind. So that's something which the Libo Gas Ruach, he went back to the Midah of Gasas HaRuach. He was drawn, and it's an amazing thing, even right after the Mari HaNavua, they were still drawn to that Midah of Gasas HaRuach. I mean, see, that he couldn't change. An interesting thing.
It really
shows him. You read carefully, between the lines of the parasha. Every nuance of his mental apparatus and how it works is really an amazing thing. Yeah. So not only Yitznecha. He himself in the mind said that God doesn't change his mind. That's true. But you're saying that he couldn't convince Balak of... He couldn't teach Balak anything.
Right, I can't teach Balak.
That's true. He couldn't teach Balak anything. That's a very good point. Bava Noach mentioned a very good point, that a person can function as a Malami, but here Bilam could not teach Balak anything. Okay. Why? Because he himself was operating on two fronts. He was a conflicted figure. So apparently, you can't be a Malami if you're conflicted. See, that's why Balak couldn't. That's why it's a very good observation. That Balak gained nothing. That's why, after all, he looked up to Bilam. So why didn't he gain something? The answer is because what he saw was that this is not a man to learn from. Because he himself is not really willingly and happily doing lo ucha lava shon. Again, but he's forced. So he didn't. That's why Bullock cannot be a Talmud. He didn't gain anything. He just said because he didn't even know how to shun the covered method. Practically, it's all. That's true. That's a good point.
Right.
He could not be a Malame because he really, because Bullock saw that the person really is not willing to, doesn't want to do this. He wants to do something else. But as much as he does it, it was meaningless. He couldn't influence him in any way. Good point. Very good point. Yeah. That's what it really means. If you know that I'm not going to exercise my Bechira problem.
No, not that you know. He was afraid himself. He was really afraid.
Yeah, if he thought, apparently after the Mare Nevor, Bilam was convinced that he could listen to the Tzivui Hashem, and he had full control of his free will. Because otherwise, that was the thing. He says, he didn't have to go with them. There was no reason to go. So even to go, he says, in Mikolacha Baal Hashem. You want to go to the field? You have to go.
Right.
So if he thought that he, but the essence, it's a double Hashem, double Hashem. That was the only condition. So if he thought, if Bilam thought that he can't, he can't exercise his free will properly, even after the Mare Nevor. First of all, the Mare Nevor would be enough, because it wouldn't have placed him on course. And secondly, if he thought that way, so then he should have gone back. Well, that was the original Tzibur. If this is a dove, he can go, but this is the only condition. He can't be conditioned, don't go. So that's why he can't say in Rabbi Nachman. He's dead. I thought that also. I was thinking about that. Last is negative amacham means it's not me, it's God. And that's what it is. He's defending himself. He's defending himself. He's saying this event didn't happen because of my weakness. It's him. You see? I mean, that's Lashes Negramach.
But it's not just because of the God's.
He's saying that this event is not due to my weakness, it's due to God's weakness.
And then you project the weakness.
He projected the weakness.
It could have been enough to say, God changed his mind like in a normal way.
No.
Yes,
that's correct.
That's
correct. He says, yeah, this is his Derech. But the reason why, you have to say, the reason why they say that is because he's projecting an emotional activity on God. And he's distorting the idea of God. I mean, and he's projecting onto God an emotional human weakness. He's trying to put God in human terms and give him a human weakness. Or even though he's being vague about it. See, I don't know how it works, but you see this is what happens. See, sometimes in some sphere, this is the way it works. He didn't say he was a big chacham. I mean, he wouldn't quite God to me. But it stems from that. It stems that when the person is under the sway of that emotion, that's where he's gone. He's abandoned the world of the intellect, and now he's taking the world of the emotions and projecting it onto God. You know what I mean? So it can't be purely rational. It stems from an irrational source. You know what I mean? It has an irrational base. Of course, it's sophisticated intellectual thought, but the source stays the same, no matter how much intellectual thought. Yeah. That's like Christian philosophy. You try to make it intellectual, but the same thing. So it's the same thing. I mean, and the person that receives Nevuah is not frightened by the Nevuah, and the Nevuah doesn't influence him. The fact that he receives it. The content, but not the, he's not awed by the event. That's simply that's the thing between a Nevuah and between a psychotic. Psychotic is a different kind of thing. I mean, it's like a world of fantasy. But the real Nevuah is the reality. It's a reality for the person. And he doesn't lose the self. The self isn't lost. Same self. Same self. And that's why he responds. Like, you see, in every Nevuah, the person's voice in Nevuah, it's a natural thing. He's raw, he's the same person. He's a normal person. He doesn't lose his state of mind, otherwise they're all in the hood. Person having the hood is collapsed. And an ordinary person would, because he doesn't know what the hood is, on the level to receive. But he was on a certain level to receive the hood. I mean, he was on a certain level. It was a complex individual. He was on a certain level to receive the hood. And he responded. There's nothing wrong in his response. In terms of responding, per se, in contact with them. But the fact that he had the nerve to respond, no, that's wrong with him. That the individual is not compromised by the fact that it's a certain type of reality. And he acts normal. He thinks, he says what he thinks. Okay. Do we leave anything out?
Okay.
Yes.
One thing is not clear. Because we originally got told him that there's no objective point in going. But nevertheless, he has some emotional desire to go. He was overcome by a certain emotion. Then, with the incident, after three times, apparently, of course, what you're saying, he overcame that emotion. So what was the emotional desire to continue on the mission now? Why would he want to go? But he was a smart person. He would see that by refusing to do what Paul had wanted, he would just get the Beasley. So why do you want to continue that? And actually carry out the word of God. And at that point in time, once he overcame the emotion, why didn't he just return of his own? He is God. But why didn't he just be, what was the point now? Because the only reason he was going was because of a certain emotion. And he overcame that emotion. And he's a smart person. He can see what's going to happen. If he's not to follow God's will, he's going to wind up getting easily. So why would he want to go?
That's a good question. And the question is that what was his plan in general? Because it's just gonna lead to design. So what was his plan? I mean, that's a good question.
Well,
see, Rashi tries to answer that question before, because Rashi says that Nia Nashim Ma'ela Imach. The Rashi says Lat Oso Ba. He says. So really, in the parentheses, he explained, doesn't mean that God came to cause him to make a mistake. Baruch Hu doesn't do something that's ra. Why should he try to fool him? But it means to say that it came out that that's what it was. Why? Omar Pomin Shein Akol Gobel Lefanov Ein Daito Shovalo Afani Era Eis Sheucha Lekalo Gula Yochit. Apparently, his philosophy of God's knowledge of particulars was that sometimes he doesn't always have knowledge of all particulars. And that apparently was his plan. That's a Rashi answer to that question. Because otherwise, your question is very good. Why should he go if he's stupid? But apparently, that was, he went based on what Rashi said before. That it had to do with his philosophy of God's knowledge of particulars. And that was, I mean, that's something, that's the thing. To understand Bilam is not easy, not a simple matter. He's talking about a giant of a human being, a very great, powerful soul. And, it's true, it was Russia, but he wasn't a simple man. So as Rashi said, that he thought he'll be able to discern when God doesn't know the particular.
That's what I said.
What exactly that means is not, you have to look for further clues in the pasha to pursue that idea. But he did, the general idea is all that Rashi is explaining. That he didn't believe God doesn't know particulars. He wasn't like certain philosophers, though God only knows universal. He knew that, but he held somehow or other God does not know every particular, certain particulars. He doesn't know. And I mean, his idea, his metaphysical ideas were corrupt. But they were corrupt not because he lacked the intelligence. They were corrupt because of his nature. Because he didn't overcome, with his free will, he didn't overcome his nature. And that caused certain corruption in his understanding, his knowledge of God. But that's what Rashi is explaining. That he thought, that's what he said, what exactly he had in mind is very difficult, it's not impossible to know. But he had in mind that somehow or other he had a chance to be able to accomplish his mission without God's knowledge.
That's what he did when he came to the
Eitzah. What you're saying. Yaakov saying also, if you look through the Pasha, you see there where he was trying, Rashi explained, he was trying to be melamed to be Muhammad Raw, on Kol Yisrael. Yeah, he was trying to argue with God that they don't deserve to be Baruch, but to be Ara. I mean, that's what he says. He says, Shiva Mizbachas. Shivas, Amalafanav, yeah. The Rashi says in Pasuk Dal, Amalafanav, Avaseyim Shalelu Banu Lefanecha Shiva Mizbachas, Vani Arachti Kinege Kulam. Avram Bana Abor, the Yidin Shem Mizbech Hashem Nirva, the Yetim Shem Ahara, the Yel, okay. So he says, and Va'al Pogram was there, Va'avram Lohela Lohela Lohela. So you see, he was Malami Kateya, I mean, on Kla Yisrael. He was trying to argue that they deserve to be cursed. I mean, that was he trying to do. So you see, he had a plan. He had some kind of a plan. The third time he says, he didn't try to succeed in being able to change the Tzivui Hashem for Klal Yisrael. That's what you see from the parasha also. So really, it's you have to tie it together. I mean, but it's clear from the parasha that he had some plan. It wasn't a simple thing. He wanted to be Malami Kateg on Klal Yisrael. I mean, and how exactly? I mean, of course, it's a big limud. It's not a simple thing. Just give a general answer, but it's only a general answer. You have to go into the parasha more to see exactly what his arguments were. But he thought he would argue and succeed in changing the tzibur, changing the tzibur Hashem. Okay. What was the state? Very simple. He was in a state where he had control over his bechirah. He wasn't under the grip of a powerful emotion anymore. He saw through that emotion. But now he was in the state of Bechirah. But he's still normal state of Bechirah. And you have to realize also, I mean, the fact that the Chesed Hashem, I mean, the Malach Rachim, I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu Merachem Alav, it is also because it was an unusual situation too that it was thrown into. Because of the Klal Yisrael and the Am Yetzir Mitzrayim. So it wasn't ordinary circumstances. He was thrown into a very strange situation, and that's why he was caught up in so apparently it was something that wasn't ordinary. He didn't have ordinary common responsibility for it. He was responsible, but it was different.
But he's not being moved anymore by the cover of the home?
No, that's in a different way. Not under the grip. There's a difference between a person being overpowered by a momentary emotion and the same taiva, he could sit back in his house and determine whether he wants to do it or not. That's a different thing. Complete two different phenomena. That's what I'm trying to say. That there are two different ways that a person encounters the Yetzer Hara. I mean, two different encounters. Person can be can determine whether he wants to be over in his nose, and or a person can be caught momentarily in a moment of passion. I mean, and it's a different kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Totally different situation.
More the condition for Kira and Mayor.
That's a moment. That's correct. That's a momentary thing. But a person not in the immediate grips right now. But he holds that that's what he should do. He should, when he wants to determine, he has to make a decision.
Right.
And that's a different kind of a Bechira situation.
Right.
Different kind. So after the Nevuah, he didn't have the first kind anymore. The overpowering grips of the emotion. Immediate. But he didn't change his philosophy. I mean, he's not changing his philosophy of life. Right. And now he's in a different situation.
You see, he still has the emotions and the money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he repeats.
That's correct. He says in the end again. Yeah, I told you. He can be bored in the low basic as well.
President of
a minor of a monish and Daito Rechava. I mean, that's Daito Rechava remained with him always.
Yeah.
And I remain with him always. And he made a decision. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other points? I mean, there's a lot more to explore here. I mean, I'm just...
the whole conversation.
I mean, what exactly was he doing with Bashir and Mizbechus and his arguments? I mean, and he's arguing with God. I mean, I just want to just show one major point and a couple of other smaller, minor points. But I think it's okay to everybody. I mean, it's the limit of everybody, not just the limit. I mean, not just the limit about Bilam. Of course, it's tremendous insight, beauty in the way the psukim unravel, marvelous, but it's a limud for everyone, when the limud has a person. I mean, because it's the whole derech of the Yitzhar and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is down a person and lead us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even an animal. That's correct.
Doesn't kill something. It was. Well, I mean, like an animal, it's self-preserved instinct.
Right.
It doesn't, like, that's what the animal's like telling him. Like, even, but still, when he's overcome his emotion, he's the one who's like destroying himself. Like, with an animal, it wouldn't be that crazy. It sounds like a certain, like, logical.
It shows you that it was, that it showed him a greater limud, because it showed him that even a behemoth, I mean, it has an instinct of survival. And Adam can get crazier than a behemoth. There's no question about it. That's part of the limud. That Adam can get crazier than a behemoth. I didn't mention it. That was part of the limud. That a man, a chazal, a person could be caught up to a malach, a lakim, but when he's metalko, he's worse than a behemoth. And that's correct. There was one chazal we're working on we couldn't quite unravel. That the animal sees more than a...
The
animal saw the reality, but he was so distorted, he couldn't see this reality. In fact, he didn't die. It says, "V'hu lo ro'o." Shenas Rashi says the Mare HaNavua has to be logical. So how could it be that the Asan saw the Malach Hashem and he didn't? That's what Rashi's explaining. That's what Rashi's trying to explain. How could it be that the Asan saw the Malach Hashem and he didn't see it? Yeah, that's the whole thing. And if he was there, then there wouldn't be a new one. Right? So what does Rashi want over there? The point is that how could there be a Mare HaNavua or an event? I don't know if Rashi's on Pshuto or like Ramo, but it doesn't make a difference. But the thing is, how could it be, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has one element of Mare HaNavua, the Malach Hashem. Okay, I mean, that's definitely, so the question is whether the P.O.S. was also mindful, but definitely the whole thing involved the Mayan of Ur. The question is, how is it possible, how could a Nebuah is created because of the godless of Adam? So it's the covered Adam. So how could it be that you have a degrading Nebuah? That the Asan in this Nebuah, the Asan sees more than the human being. It's not appropriate. It's not correct. Okay, in other words, God would not create a situation which would indicate contrary to the way he created the Brios. That the Asan sees more than the man. That's not aligned with the Brios Hashem. So God would not create a Nebuah in a way that's contradictory to his the way he created his Bruin. And the way he created his Bruin is that Adam is the greatest. So he wouldn't create a Nebuah where the Adam sees more than the Adam. That he wouldn't do with it. That's contrary to the whole state of grace. The whole Bria, the whole way of the Bria. So it would be a Nebuah that in the Nebuah would be something that's contrary to God's will. And to the order and the Chachma of the Bria. That the Asan sees more than a man. I mean, how's that possible? You see? So Rashi answers, no. That the Asan is given Rishus to see more in this case. Because he doesn't understand. So what he sees is simply in a sense perception. But the Adam who's a Chacham, if he would see it, would destroy him. Because he sees more. You see? So that's why he wasn't Nitin Rishus. So it's not because of the, it's not a Bizoyon HaAdam in the Nevuah that the Asan sees more than the Adam, because the Asan doesn't have any Zechel. So what it sees, it doesn't understand. But Adam is greater and would ordinarily see more. But he has to be protected. Because of his Das, if he saw this, he can't handle it, so it'll become Torah Daita. It'll be Torah Daita. So the Chesed Hashem is to prevent him from seeing it. But it's because of his Malyusa, because of his Mila, because of his advantage. So the Nevuah does not portray anything which is contrary to the Seder Abriya, to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and the Kavod Adam. Okay? That's what Rashi's explaining. That's the point of Rashi's point.
You mean man couldn't handle his own rishis? Is that what you're saying?
No, he couldn't handle his sight. Because right. He understands it. He understands it. The Asan doesn't matter.
The Asan, why wouldn't Liam Malah couldn't handle it? Just
what?
It was just a danger.
That's correct.
It was something just like
that's correct.
A knife.
Well, that's, yeah. Why couldn't he handle correct. It?
Who?
Man.
Why could he not handle it?
Because he recognized failure.
That's right. Because Bilam, he saw that. So that would be, he'd see this is a Mara Nevuah, and this is a Malach Hashem, and it would be in stark contrast to his crazy state of the emotion. So the contrast would cause him to go off his mind.
He couldn't handle
the trauma of instant recognition of the emotion. It would be, you know, he's being driven by the emotion on one side, and then there's a traumatic incident which tells him he's going to die. So that he went to his death. So he couldn't handle it. So that's why he wasn't given Rishus to see it. But the Asan just sees a figure. So he avoids it. It's just a practicality. He doesn't. So that's why, that's what Rashi's explaining. So Rashi's explaining that even in the mussel itself, even in the way it was set up, it was not contradictory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation and the Kavod HaAdam that an Asan sees something that Adam doesn't. That would be contrary to the Ratzon Hashem and the creation and the Kavod HaAdam. So therefore he says, no, it's not it was to protect him. It's because he's a greater Chacham. Because he's a greater Chacham. That's why if he would see it at that moment, the whole limud would never unravel and it would simply be shattered. So that's why he had to be protected. So that the Asan could handle it. He could not handle that. But he could handle it later as it unravels piecemeal, you see, and he gains knowledge, then he could do it. But if it was a sudden trauma, he couldn't, it would be the Torah Daita. That's what Rashi's plan. But Rashi wants to show you that everything has to be with precision. Even the situation of the way the mussel is set up has to be aligned. We have to reflect the Kavod Adam and the level of Adam. You can't see the distinction to the level of the behemoth. So it can't be the Torah Adam and a man doesn't see it. It doesn't make any sense. He's giving Rishus to see something man not. That would be in a problem.
And even to use the mussel.
Even to use the mussel would be in a problem.
Okay, that's not very well done.
In other words, it's midas or emes. See, it's midas or emes as well. Midas HaChesed and Midas HaEmes as well. That it would be against the Midas HaEmes to have an Asan see something a man doesn't see. The Asan is greater than man. That's against Midas HaEmes. As Rashi says, no, it's because of his Chachma. So it's not against Midas HaEmes. Of course, as Mila, he had to be protected.
There's still some perception.
That's because of his Chachma. So it was Shevach that he didn't see. Well, that's a Rashi's plan.
Is that the reason why an Asan
would use it? What?
The answer now
is what? That's why the animals use it. That's correct. That's correct. That's why the animals use it. That's why the animals use it. Every part is precise. Tremendous sensitivity, Rashi. I'm a Tehra Asan. It's Chazal, but it's very good. Okay.
Together, you guess what? Okay. Another reason why you have the three times. Two reasons for three times. First of all, to show him, like we said, that he repeatedly commits the same error, but secondly, it showed him how far he went in his error. That Luyashkar Biyadi Kyatar Ragtech, that it brought him to the point where he wanted to destroy the animal, you see, which was simply to harm his possession and that thing which wanted to save his life. See, it reached the point of ultimate absurdity, you see. The point that's what the Marian Avua disclosed to him. How an emotion can lead a person to do the completely craziest thing in the eyes of reality. That's Vayigal. What does Pesach say? Vayigal ad Hashem Esein Evilon. So then he saw reality. And once he saw reality, he realized how much he deviated and how crazy his activities became. Insane activities. It's an amazing thing. He was fortunate. He had Vayigalad Hashem Asani Bilam. That's it. So he was able to see reality. Ordinary people don't have that opportunity. But they never see it. So what?
But
you
mentioned
about Rashi. Well, yeah, which one is that? Yeah. So, Chaf Beis, you said?
Yeah, second Rashi, the second one.
Okay. Ki holichu,
Next Rashi,
Mal Shem. Rosh Dov Rabbeinu, that's what Rashi means. Rosh Dov Rabbeinu, Mokim, Nesavalelech meant that he was under the influence of that emotion where he would violate the Tzivoy. See? So Rashi says, L'satan lo malach shol rachmem hoya, v'yerotza l'mono milachto shelo yecheta v'yoved. So apparently what would have happened, what Rashi is saying is that he would have been destroyed. Because he would have been destroyed because since he was going to be over the Tzivui and God would not allow him, so he would have been destroyed, he would have died. So it was Malach Shel Rachamim that saved him. It's Chesed Hashem. Chesed Hashem means, Malach Shel Rachamim means, Chesed Hashem, which operated through a specific cause, which is the Malach, you see, which means he was deserving of Chesed Hashem. It's an amazing thing. It's a good question, because Satan always means bad, right? Satan is a Zu Yetzar, that's a good question. Zu Yetzar, Zu Satan, Zu Malach Malas. Right. This
case.
What?
It was the Malach in and of himself who set it up.
Yeah.
Because the Malach placed himself in a certain position that he also therefore drove that way.
Yeah.
Because it was both. It was Malach, in the end it was Malach Rachman, but he started off with Satan, meaning that if it weren't for the Malach, the Asa never would have followed off the Derech.
That's correct.
Asa saved him. Malach was trying to kill him.
Right, at first.
Based on
his question is why? What is it? Your question is Lasat, right?
Right?
Yeah.
It means lead you astray.
What? Satan always means something bad,
right?
Right? Yeah, but over here it doesn't mean that. Rashi's saying Lasatan lo. It was for him. It wasn't a Satan in the ordinary sense. Lasatan lo means for his benefit to cause him to bother him. Bother. Lasatan means, Satan always means something that's bothering you. It's like I said, by Shlomo Melech, that God set up one of the kings, I forget, the Sutton Law. It always bothered Shlomo, like they couldn't get rid of him. He always, you know, annoying him, Sutton. So that's what the Sutton Law means, to interfere with him. To interfere, that's what it means. So Rashi's saying that the event l'satan lo over here means that it means on his the extra word lo should be l'satan. So but l'satan lo over here means it was malach shirachim. Hakadosh Baruch was merachim on him. Hakadosh Baruch was merachim on him. He didn't deserve to die. So apparently, I mean, that's an interesting thing. So apparently, I mean, you learn Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God does not interfere with the Bechira itself, with the human being's Bechira, but he does set up a situation where the person, you see, where the person can gain insight into himself. But the question is why? I mean, he's a Rasha, basically. He made an evil decision. Made an evil decision. He decided he was going already to be over the tzivui. So why should he deserve rachamim? I mean, that's the question. So that's what we wanted to say, that the answer is that apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals differently with a person if it's Yitzro Tukfal than if it's an ordinary. Because ordinarily a person has Bechira and he's Bochar Bara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to set up a situation to save him. I mean, that's the whole Bechira. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So he's Bochar. So why don't we say over here that he was Bochar Bara, that Bilam was Bochar Bara? But the answer is he wasn't Bochar Bara, because he really intended, and that's really the whole account, the whole Sipur, HaMaisa. He really intended, as he said, and by the way, you see, he wasn't an ordinary Rasha. And to understand what his rishis is not simple. But he wasn't an ordinary Rasha, because he said, and what is it? What is Lashon? He says, and yitnli volak malov vesel kesef zov. I showed you what he wanted, but nevertheless, he said, lo ucha lavor aspiyat Hashem alekoi, Hashem alekoi, lasos kitano gedola. Wasn't an ordinary person. I mean, he felt he had a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he would not be over. Okay, Lasas Ketano Gedola, doesn't make any difference. So you see that when he was in his normal frame of mind, he wouldn't be over the tzibur. He wouldn't be over the tzibur. But what happened was that he got very excited. The Sorim Rabim v'Nechbodim and the whole situation, and with Klal Yisrael and everything, because of that, he was thrown into a situation of Yitzro Tukfal. So apparently, you see, it's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even a Rasha, but he's entitled to live his life and to exercise his Bechira in the way that he was intended to exist. A certain amount of years, a certain amount of time, and he has a certain amount of time to be Chaz B'Tshuva. It's not simple. The Mishpat Hashem is not simple. So you see that the Mishpat Hashem over here was that he deserves Chesed to continue to exist at this point. And he has an evil intention, but it's Yitzro Tukfal. I think there's a Chazal somewhere that says that an Avera that a person does because he's the moment he's gripped by Taiva, the moment is a different kind of thing. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't done in the same way. He's not completely guiltless. I mean, he's still responsible, but it's a different kind of responsibility. Different kind of responsibility. Yitzhak Takfa is in a situation, even though Chazal said that there's no real thing of Yitzhak Takfa, because Ein Adam Chote Limke Nichnas Bo Ruch Shtos. So a person can always have the excuse, this situation, that situation. Yeah, but the fact is it's Ruch Shtos. Ruch Shtos was Nichnas in him. So, but nevertheless, in spite of that, and he's culpable, he's responsible. But even though he's responsible, it's a different kind of a chait. Different kind of a chait. So if it were a chait, a calculated bechira chait, then he wouldn't deserve the nevuah to open up his eyes, you see, and to remove him from the situation of danger to himself. But because it was a different kind of a chait, that it was he was overpowered emotionally because of the situation. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was merachem on him. And the Malach of the Nevuah was appointed, summoned to give him the opportunity. You see, to give him the opportunity. That's what the that's basically what the Torah is teaching. That the Midas is teaching Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes. The idea of Bilam that I mentioned before, the idea of Bilam is that he was a complex individual, that he wasn't really roi for nevuah on his own, but he had the intellectual capacity for it. He had the ability. He had the intellect. He was a great intellect, great genius, and when he was under the sway of nevuah, he saw everything very clearly. But he didn't reach that perfection because of his own exercise of Bechira, proper exercise of Bechira. So he was an instrument and a vehicle of Nevuah. He was Nevuah as a Chefza, not as a Gavra. Vayikar. Vayikar. I mean, he's not as a Gavra. He didn't really deserve it. Yes?
You do see at the moment he made the decision, by Yelech Yisrael Moab, Rashi says, Libo Kilibam Shavah. At that point in time, he thought, at that, there was one point in time where he was a mile down. Rashi in the Pasuk Chabalov,
that fits in very well, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's take what
that's exactly what we're saying. Where was Rashi? On what?
I'm sorry, Moab.
Yeah, Libo Kalibam Shava. Yeah, that's right, exactly. I am sorry, very good. Yeah. Rashi says, Libo Kalibam Shava. That's when he went to violate.
Right.
That's when he went to violate. But it shows you the Chesed Hashem, and that's true in a person's life also. That even though it's true that not everything is Ashkacha Pratius, but you can't say there's no Ashkacha Pratius. I mean, that's fear. So sometimes a person is in the grips of the Yetzer Hara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send a Malach HaRachamim to create a situation where he sees that something occurs and he sees, wait a minute, just a minute, I'm making a mistake here. I'm in the grips of an emotion. Now what am I doing? So that's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could learn, you can extrapolate from the case of Bilam to a general case, even an ordinary person that's Mevakesh Hashem, that's looking for the truth, looking for the emes, that such a thing can occur. That such a thing can occur. But it'll only occur if the person is looking for it. If the person doesn't notice it, I mean, it's not going to have any value. He won't have an experience where he sees he was about to make a disaster, a small error on the surface, which could be disastrous, completely disastrous. So that could happen. It could happen to a person. It's a Chesed Hashem. It could happen to if it extended to Bilam HaRasha. It could extend to a person that's Mevakesh Emes. So that's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a great, tremendous limud from the parsha. Tremendous limud from the parsha. But the person has to be aware. I mean, he has to be aware. He has to be able to uncover the idea and the mistake and the error. He has to be in a position and to leave momentarily Yitzvah Tachva, to leave it, to abandon it momentarily, be able to see it. But that is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clear from the Psukim. And even though in terms of Bechira itself, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never interfere and his will is never to interfere, and if the person is a true Bochar Bara, that's it. He's Mishalim Rasha Kefi Masav. I mean, that's clear. Another says, "Saying La Rasha Raka Rishasa." So that's then it's too late. But in this case where people are in the grips of a power, a person is caught in the grips of a powerful emotion, even though he still is responsible, he can't escape by saying it's not an excuse. But nevertheless, it's a different kind of a chait. And there's a different kind of a midah that he's dealt. Different, he's treated with a different midah, you see. That's really the limit of that's the limit of the parsha. That's the limit of the parsha. So, that's right. You see, though, that so the parsha is based on Yesodos. Parsha is based on Yesodos. And when you study the Parsha based on the Yesodos, the underlying ideas, so there's one thing that stands out. That why did Bilam, after he had the whole Isgalus, I mean, and he saw the whole thing, so why did he say, Vayom Bilam Malach HaShem Chatasi? Of course, Malach HaShem is the same thing as saying to God. It's the same thing. Ki lo yadati ki ata nitzav akrasi badarach. Va'ata amra beinecha shuvali. You're saying to the Baruch Hu, you're saying to God. Va'ata amra beinecha shuvali. Okay? So, why did he say that? I mean, that stands out as a question. Because the whole thing was really to put him back in track. And now, once he had this marahan of when he saw the grips and the power of the emotion, and he was able to overcome it and with his intellect and with chachma, then he wasn't in danger of not exercising his bechira in the proper way. And he would listen to the tzivu Yashem. You have to realize, you know, it sounds simple for him, but it's a very difficult thing. I mean, he's in front of the most powerful forces that move every human being. The whole world is moved by the grandeur. The greatest people in the world, I mean, are standing around him. And he's in a position where they expect him to deliver. I mean, you have to understand what kind of a Nisayon this is. And he's spitting in their face, basically. And his whole reputation and everything is at stake. It's an unbelievable situation. You have to realize, you know. You just read through the Parsha, it sounds very simple. For somebody, he's a Russian. Not so simple. Very, the most powerful emotions of man are involved in this precisely the situation which the Torah portrays with Bill. All the Sari Moav, and they're all waiting, and they praise him, and this is his strength, and his whole power, and his whole essence, and they're saying, now show us what you can do, we'll reward you, honor you, you're greatest man in the world. And he not only turns them down, but he basically acts in a way where they despise him, and they look down at him, and he walks away in complete disgrace. I mean, it's an unbelievable nesoyah, unbelievably hard thing to do. And you see, he did it. It's not, it was his will. It was his bechira. You see, he was not an ordinary person. Tara's not talking about a simple person.
Why is he mubarak?
What?
Why did he give a bracha? He didn't have to give a bracha.
But he had Bechira. He could have said what he wanted. But he said, Shuvah Balak V'chosa Daber, and he listened to the Tzivu Hashem. It was a Tzivu Hashem, and he listened to it. So you can't just underestimate him and just push him away. I mean, how many people would stand up to the sign like that?
It's
his whole life. And he wasn't the person who's afraid that he's going to get struck by lightning if he does it. I mean, that's like, you know what I mean, like an infantile person. So he could have done it. He could have taken all the mazeh. I mean, that's it. I mean, the highest covenant. And also you have to realize that there are feelings of loyalty also. A lot of things here. Feelings of loyalty towards a person that raises you up and praises you and honors you. You know, you get feelings of, you want to help them. I mean, you want to help them. They're in a dangerous situation. You feel for their plight. I mean, you want to be helpful. A lot of emotions involved there. And to be able to overcome all those emotions and just do something which is despicable in their eyes is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. And he was able to do it. Yep, that he did. That he did also. I'm not trying to say it was a tzaddik. What I'm saying is that the Torah does not like to do what everybody wants to do. You just right. Brand them. He's a tzaddik, he's a rasha. This one's bigger, that one's smaller. Torah is not, that's infantile way of looking at a human being and a life. The Torah is showing you that Bilam is a complex individual. Not so simple. You don't understand Bilam so simply. He's a complex individual. On the one hand, he showed the greatest godless to be able to do it. On the other hand, you see, yes, that's right. What was not under the tzivoy, he went and he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. I mean, He gave them the eights of the how to destroy them. Same time, simultaneously. Cannot understand him simply. Not a simple person. But you can't take away from what he did. You can't do that either. You can't just take away from his accomplishment. But he's not a tzaddik. I'm not saying he's a tzaddik.
At least he recognized
the
end.
What?
He did recognize
at
the end. By our Bilam, right? He told
Menashe and brought
this Israel.
Yeah, and the last time
he realized
that's
true.
That's true. Oh, yeah. So the question is, if this is the explanation, and this seems to be clearly what's unraveling in the Pesukim over here, so why does it say Imra Beinecho Shuvali? Right? What's Imra Beinecho Shuvali? No, it's not Ra. He has to do like Kadosh Baruch told him before. Just Ephesus, Adavah, Sher, Adabah, Lachasas, Adabah. Right? So what is the statement? Imra Beinecho Shuvali. Doesn't make any sense. Right? I mean, now he accomplished pulling himself out from under the sway of the emotion. So now he's back to normal mental function. So now he can go. Okay? And exercise the Bechira properly. So what is he saying, Rabbi Nachashuvli? See, so Rashi picked it up. See, Rashi picks it up. That he says, because Rashi is about the same question. He says, Lahasris neged amakom yitshuvazu. See? On the surface, they say, what is Lahasris neged amakom? Where did Rashi get this from? Because Rashi's following with the underlying ideas. So Rashi knew, that I assume it's a Chazal, and the Chazal, Lahasris neged amakom yitshuvazu. Amalo, Hubatsmo Tsivani Lalechas, Vata Malach Mavatlas Devorov, Lomru Bakach, Shoma Dover or Malach Machziro, Amalav Rom Kachnas Binchova Vaide Malach Bitlas Devoro, Afani Imrab Einecho, Tsorachani Loshov. You see? Imrab Einecho, Tsorachani Loshov. So he said that's it, he changed his mind. Kadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind sometimes. Okay, something happens, some event, and he changes his mind, and I have to be careful. So he said he's willing to comply with God's will, and if it's bad, he'll give it up. He'll give up the whole thing. But Rashi, so it sounds like a good thing, like a nice thing. But Rashi is no lahasras. That's lahasras neged amakom. What does Rashi mean? Why it means to speak? Lasser neged amakom means to spitefully go against God. Okay? Yeah, what does he mean? What does Rashi mean? But he, on the same time, he's subordinating himself to God. He says, Ashuvali. You see? But what it means is that, you see, he couldn't accept. It's very hard. It's amazing how the Torah does it in Chazal, but it's very hard to describe what's going on in a person's mind, you know what I mean, in terms of the Bechira. But Chazal do it in a way where, I mean, they leave it to put together. But it can't be, precision is not possible. You can just get certain factors, certain elements. But what the Chazal are saying over here is simply that, you see, this experience he had, he should have been very thankful after the experience. It should have been simply kido nashachavoya and gone on his way. See, because the appreciation that he had, the schus that he was able to see with him is what could happen to him if he doesn't think logically. It's an unbelievable experience. So he should have been vayikra v'yishtachva, and he should have gone on his way. But you see, he was a Russia, and because he was a Russia, he could not see it fully for what it was, as chesed Hashem. Couldn't see it. So he thought that it's not completely chesed Hashem to save my life. There's something changed also. Something else is involved. You see? Something changed also. So that's why he said Imra Beinecho Shuvali. What it meant was that he had in the back of his mind, he harbored an erroneous notion about God. That God doesn't always sometimes things change. And it could be that this whole Mari Nevuah was not simply, of course, he understood, he derived the limud from the Mari Nevuah, but there could be something else behind it also. That there was a change here. There was change. So that was Lahasris Neged HaMakom. The wrong idea of God. Why did he have this wrong idea? Because he couldn't face the fact that he was totally to blame. So he was totally at fault. And that this emotion just gripped him like a crazy emotion, an insanity. And he could not admit it. So, and that's why the whole Mari Nevuah took place. He couldn't attribute it completely to his own failing, you see. So he tried to say, maybe something changed also here. That would be a mitigating circumstance. It's true, everything that happened, the Suyans said, it's true, we're under the grips of emotion, but he was hoping. Maybe there's something else here. Maybe there was also a change, and really, this is the way that God is showing me these wonderful ideas, but he really doesn't want me to go. Really, now his will changed, you see. And that's really why this happened. Not simply because he was in the grips of the emotion and it's Chesed Hashem. See, he didn't want to see that. Didn't want to see that. So that was the Imrabe Nachashavu. He still was looking for a way out to somehow or other redeem himself. That it wasn't an experience that it was totally blameworthy, because he was caught up in the grips of the crazy emotion, you see, of the illusion, the fantasy. So he was hoping, kind of, that maybe God really doesn't want him to go now altogether. That's part of what's going on over here. Now we could ascribe it to that, you see. That's what he was hoping. That's what he was hoping.
And he comes to that realization once God said no, keep on going.
Then once God told him no. Did he
was totally blameful?
Yes, well, he had no escape then. He had no escape. I mean, he wasn't a fool. Then, you see, the Russia is not the pshat. He was a great chacham. But you see where he keeps on going. The inclination is trying to get back to where basically his real desires are. You see? So it keeps it shifting back. But then, of course, he got shifted back the other way. But the subtlety of the... What the mental phenomena that took place in his mind disclose a force in a negative direction. And it's going to reassert itself. He wasn't, if he wouldn't have been that way, he would have been a tzaddik, apparently. Apparently, see, he kept on going back to that.
Right.
To his own, to what a chazos is, and Pasuk Yud Gimel. By Yochum, first he told him, he says, Lina Paul Lila, right? And then he said, then Gatan Lo Selechim Am Lo Sarasom Givarcho. So that was Lo Selechim Am Lo Sarasom Givarcho meant in terms of the Tzivoy. There was no Tzivoy to go. Later he said, Im Likra Lacha, if you want to go for yourself, you can go. But the first Tzivoy was, don't go, meant there's no reason to go, no objective reason to go. Lo Selechim Am Lo Sarasom Givarcho. That meant there's no objective reason to go. Okay. Then, so he says, but when he answered them, "Vayomar Sarvag l'chul l'aschem ki me'ena Hashem l'siti la'aloch imochem." You see. So Rashi says, "Ela emsorim gedolim mikem l'madnu sheruchal gavala v'lo rotzel legalas shehu b'shusa shel makom ela b'loshin gasas l'fichach v'yosev od balak." You see. So he really. He thought they wouldn't persist anymore, apparently. So he said, why do I have to leave off in a way that I don't look good? And I'm not going to go. So I don't have to, tell them that I have no rishus to go, because that takes away from my greatness. So he twisted a little bit. He said, Kimeina Rishem Lasiti. He said, it's not necessarily that I can't go. It's that it's really not the Nevuah doesn't want me to go with you. Let's put it that way. Could be because you're not worthy. You're not worthy. So he left off in a way where his pride was instated. You see, was that was his... in a subtle way. He just said an extra word. He didn't want to reveal that he's subordinated completely. So he left it off in a kind of ambiguous way that it sounded like, you know, it didn't detract from his control of the situation. That he's simply defeated. He didn't want to walk. He didn't want to walk away that way. So he left it off in a, didn't say a lie. I mean, it's anything not true. But you see, he was careful in his formulation that he walked away looking good. Walked away looking good. So he might as well walk away looking good. Why? What if to walk away like a, just like a servant? I mean. Same thing, same result. Okay, so that was. But then, so he thought that that's going to be it. You know, he left it subtly that way. But they picked up the subtlety because they were very pressed. So Yosef Odbalak, he is a smart man. He picked up just a second. Okay, that was said. All right, let's try this. You see, so he didn't expect it. He just. It was a subtle way of leaving off in a with retaining his prestige, you see. And he figured that would be the end of it. But they really wanted it. So if you want something, you listen. What do you say? What do you say? What exactly do you say? All right, as I said, okay, we'll do this. Yeah, but yes, a vote ball. You see. So he found himself in the same predicament again. Yeah. Yeah. But what I wanted to get, so I wanted to get back. So you see, there was libo gas, that he had that midah, and that's why he couldn't admit that the mare hanavua was completely because of his error, and because he was a fool, he was caught up in an emotion. So he couldn't admit that. So he's trying to say that it could be this is just another way. He gave me the limud, but really behind the scenes is that he changed his mind. Okay, and mine seems to change mine. So that would remove from him the feeling that he was totally in error. There's something else behind there. Something else behind. Yeah, it's true. It's lean with everything. Yeah, I'm wrong. But the fact is, that's not the sole cause for this whole event. You see, that makes him feel better. The emotions are funny. The emotions don't necessarily work. They don't work logically, but there is a logic to the way they work. Do you know what I mean? So therefore, what's the difference? But the fact is, you see, you made a mistake. Yeah, but he feels better. That's what I mean. He feels better because the whole thing didn't happen only because of him. It happened because God changed his mind. See? So that's something which the libo gas ruach. He went back to the midah of Gassus HaRuach. He was drawn, and it's an amazing thing. Even right after the Mar Nevor, he was still drawn to that to that midah of Gassus HaRuach. I mean, you see, that he couldn't change. Daddy, he couldn't change. It's an interesting thing. But the Torah really shows you. I mean, you read carefully. I mean, between the lines of the Parsha, every nuance of his mental apparatus and how it worked. It's really an amazing thing. Yeah. That's interesting. He had to say that himself. Loish kel v'yachazev v'enorom v'yisnechon. Yeah, he himself in the mind of us said that God doesn't change his mind. That's true. But Bob Anell is mentioning a very good point, that a person can function as a malamed, but here Bilam could not teach Balak anything. You see? Why? Because he himself was operating on two fronts. So he was a conflicted figure. See? So apparently you can't be a Malamed if you're conflicted. See, that's why Bullock couldn't. That's why it's a very good observation. That Bullock gained nothing. Because why, after all, he looked up to Bilam, so why didn't he gain something? The answer is because what he saw was that this is not a man to learn from. Because he himself is not really willingly and happily doing lo uchalavar aspirashon again, but he's forced. He's forced. So he didn't. That's why Bullock could not be a Talmud. He didn't gain anything. He just sent him. He said he needed menochar Hashem recovered, and that's it. Goodbye. Practically, it's all over. See. So that's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. He could not be a melamed because Bullock saw. that the person really is not willing to do, doesn't want to do this. He wants to do something else. But as much as he does it, it was meaningless. He couldn't influence him in any way. Good point. Very good point. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, after the Mara and Avua, Bilam was convinced that he could listen to the Tzivu Yashem, and he has total control of his free will. Because otherwise, that was the thing. He says he didn't have to go with them. There was no Tzivu to go. He says in Likra Lacha Baran Hashem. You want to go? It's up to you. You don't have to go. So if he thought that that was the only condition. So if he thought, if Bilam thought that he can't, he can't exercise his free will properly, even after the Mara Nevua, first of all, the Mara Nevua would be for nothing, because it wouldn't have placed him on course. And secondly, if he thought that way, so then he should have gone back. You should have gone back. Well, that was the original Tzivui. Ephes is a dove. He can go, but this is the only condition. If he can't give you a condition, don't go. So, yeah. So that's why you can't say in Rabbein Echa. It means that. Yeah, well, that's what I think it is. See, Lashes Neged HaMakom means it's not me, it's God. I mean, that's what it is. He's defending himself. He's defending himself. He's saying this event didn't happen because of my weakness. It's him. You see? I mean, that's Lashes Neged HaMakom.
But it's not just that, like, it's God's weakness.
God's weakness. Right. In other words, as they're saying, right. he's saying that this event is not due to my weakness, it's due to God's weakness.
So he projected the weakness.
That's correct. That's correct. He says, yeah, this is his derech. The reason why they say that is because he's projecting an emotional activity on God. He's distorting the idea of God. I mean, and he's projecting onto God a human weakness. He's trying to put God in human terms and give him a human weakness. Or, even though he's being vague about it, see, I don't know how it works, but you see, this is what happens. See, sometimes in some sphere, this is the way it works. See, he didn't say he was a big chacham. He wouldn't equate God to human being, but it stems from that. It stems that when the person is under the sway of that emotion, that's where he's going. He's abandoned the world of the intellect, and now he's taking the world of the emotions and projecting it onto God. You know what I mean? So it can't be a purely rational. It stems from an irrational source. You know what I mean? It has an irrational base. Of course, it's sophisticated, intellectualized, but the source stays the same, no matter how much he intellectualizes it. Yeah. That's like Christian philosophy. They try to make it intellectual, but it's the same thing. Source remains the same. Yeah. He was on a certain level. It was a complex individual. He was on a certain level to receive Nevuah, and he responded. There was nothing wrong in his response in terms of responding, per se. The content was bad. But the fact that he had the nerve to respond, no, that's all Nevuah. That the individual is not compromised by the fact that there's no ghost. It's a certain type of reality. And he acts normally. And he thinks, he says what he thinks. And the question is that what was his plan in general? Because it's just gonna lead to Bazillion. So what was his plan? I mean, that's a good question. Rashi tries to answer that question before, because Rashi says that mi ha anoshim ha'ela imach. So Rashi says lat oso ba. He says, latosoba. So really, in the parentheses, he explains. Doesn't mean that God came to cause him to make a mistake. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do something that's ra. Why should he try to fool him? But it means to say that it came out that that's what it was. Why? Omar pomim shein akol goli lefonov. Ein daito shovalov. Afani era eis sheuchal akalo v'layovit. So apparently, his philosophy of God's knowledge of particulars was that sometimes he doesn't always have knowledge of all particulars. And that apparently was his plan. That's how Rashi answers that question. Because otherwise, your question is very good. I mean, why should he go? He'd be stupid. But apparently, that was, he went based on what Rashi says before. That it had to do with his philosophy of God's knowledge of particulars. And that was, I mean, that's something. That's what I'm saying. To understand Bilam is not easy. Not a simple matter. You're talking about a giant of a human being. Very great, powerful soul. And yeah, it's true, it was Russia, but he wasn't a simpleton. So certain aspect, what?
So why did he go?
So as Rashi says, that he thought he'll be able to discern when God doesn't know the particular.
That's also true. And he thought he could really be able to curse.
That's what I thought. That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says before. But what exactly that means is not. You have to understand. It's not a simple thing. And that's, you have to look for further clues in the parsha to pursue that idea. But the general idea is all that Rashi is explaining. That he didn't believe God doesn't know particulars. He wasn't like certain philosophers that held God only knows universals. He knew that, but he held somehow or other God does not know every particular, certain particulars he doesn't know. And I mean, his idea, his metaphysical ideas were corrupt, but they were corrupt not because he lacked the intelligence. They were corrupt because of his nature, because he didn't overcome with his free will. He didn't overcome his nature, and that caused certain corruption in his understanding, his knowledge of God. But that's what Rashi is explaining. That he thought, that's what he said. What exactly he had in mind is very difficult, if not impossible, to know. But he had in mind that somehow or other he had a chance to be able to accomplish his mission without God's knowledge.
Well, maybe that's what he did when he gave the eight.
Further answer Rabbi Mann's question is what you're saying. What Yaakov is saying also, if you look through the parsha, you see there what he was trying. Rashi explains, he was trying to be melamed, to be melamed raw on Klal Yisrael, you know. He was trying to argue with God that they don't deserve to be baruch, but to be aror. I mean, the Rashi says in Pasuk Dal, "Amal afanav avaseim shel elu bonu lefanecha shiva mizbechos v'ani arachti kineged kulam." Avram bona arbo, v'yivim shem esber v'shem anirlo, v'yetrim shem ahara, v'yel, okay. So he says, and v'al po v'al mazech, v'avram lohel alay lechad. So you see, he was melame kategor, I mean, on Klal Yisrael. He was trying to argue that they deserve to be cursed. I mean, that was he trying to do. So you see, he had a plan. He had some kind of a plan. That's true. Later he says, that's right. The third time he says, Vayar Bilam. Vayar Bilam ki tov bein ed Hashem levarchazov. Loholach kefam befam lekras nachashim. It means he didn't try to succeed in being able to change the Tzivui Hashem to for Klal Yisrael, you see, that's what you see from the parasha also. So really, it's I mean, you have to tie it together. I mean, but it's clear from the parasha that he had some plan. It wasn't a simple thing. He wanted to be Malami Kategor on Klal Yisrael. I mean, and. And how exactly? I mean, of course, it's a big limud. It's not a simple thing. I mean, just give a general answer, but it's only a general answer. You have to go into the parsha more to see exactly what his arguments were. But he thought he would argue and succeed in changing the tzivui, Hashem. Okay. Oh, after the episode with the Yosan, what was the state? Very simple. He was in a state where he had control over his Bechira. He wasn't under the grips of a powerful emotion anymore. He saw through that emotion. But now he was in the state of Bechira. But he's still normal state of Bilam. And you have to realize also, I mean, the fact, the Chesed Hashem, I mean, Malach Rachamim, I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu Merachem Olav, it is also because it was an unusual situation too that it was thrown into, because of the Klal Yisrael, the Ne'am Yotzim Mitzrayim. So it wasn't ordinary circumstances. He was thrown into a very strange situation. And and that's why it was caught up in so apparently it was something that wasn't ordinary. He didn't have ordinary common responsibility for it. He's always responsible, but it was different.
But he's not being moved.
No, that's in a different way. Not because not under the grips. There's a difference between a person being overpowered by a momentary emotion, and the same taiva. He could sit back in his house and determine whether he wants to do it or not. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. Two different phenomena. That's what I'm trying to say over here. That there are two different ways that a person encounters the Yetzer Hara. I mean, it's two different encounters. Two different encounters. A person could be could determine whether he wants to be over an Isser Znus. And or a person could be caught momentarily in a moment of passion. I mean, and it's a different kind of situation. Totally different situation.
Whereas the
condition
to go to
Kivra Meir
and the
Kivra Meir. Yeah, that's a moment. That's correct. That's correct. That's a momentary thing. But a person is not in the immediate grips right now. But he holds that's what he should do. He should. He wants to be Mizana. I mean, he make a decision. That's a different kind of a Bechira situation. Different kind. So after the Nevuah, he didn't have the first kind anymore. The overpowering grips of the emotion. Immediate, you see. But he didn't change his philosophy. I mean, he's not changing his philosophy of life. And now he's in a different situation.
Yeah, thank you.
The end.
That's correct. He says in the end again. Yeah, I told you. Immediately, Balak Malavesa cusses off. Lamana Lamana should Daita Rechava. I mean, that's his Daita Rechava remained with him always.
Yeah.
I mean, that remained with him always, and he made a decision. Okay, it's not just a limit about Bilam. Of course, it's tremendous insight and beauty in the way the psukim unravel. It's marvelous, but it's a limit for everyone really. It's a limit for every person. I mean, because it's the whole derech of the Yetzer Hara and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is down a person and meet us HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's
important
pressure. We mentioned the Shabbos, yeah. That's right. I mean, Pia Osam.
Right.
That even an animal, that's correct. Well, it was. Yeah. Zim wants to say is that through the Usin shows you that it was that it showed him a greater limud because it showed him that even a behemoth, I mean, it has an instinct for survival, and Adam can get crazier than a behemoth. There's no question about it. That's part of limud. That Adam can get crazier than a behemoth. I didn't mention it. That was part of the limud. That a man Chazal said a person. Could be Korof to a Malach, Alakim, but when he's Mekalkol, he's worse than a Bama. And that's correct.
He removed himself from the situation.
I think what Rashi's trying to explain is that how could there be a Mare HaNavuah, or an event? I don't know if Rashi's going Pshuto or like the Ramals, but it doesn't make a difference, like I said. But the thing is, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It had to be one element had to be Mar Nevuah because the Malach Hashem. Okay, I mean that's definitely. I mean, so the question is whether the Pia Osam was also Mar Nevuah, but definitely the whole thing involved the Mar Nevuah. The question is, how is it possible? How could a Nevuah is created because of the godless of Adam, so it's the covered Adam. So how could it be that you have a degrading Nevuah? That the Ason in this Nevuah, the Ason sees more than the human being. It's not appropriate. It's not correct. Okay, in other words, God would not create a situation which would indicate contrary to the way he created the Brios, that the Asan sees more than the man. That's not in line with the Brios Hashem. So God would not create a nevuah in a way that's contradictory, you see, to his the way he created his Bruyim. And the way he created his Bruyim is that Adam is the greatest Chacham. So he wouldn't create a nevuah where the Asan sees more than the Adam. That he wouldn't do. That's contrary to the whole Seder Bereishis, to the whole Bria, the whole way of the Bria. So it would be a nevuah that in the nevuah would be something that's contrary to God's will, and to the order in the chachma of the Bria, that the essence is more than the man. I mean, how's that possible? You see. So Rashi answers no. That the Asan is given Rishus to see more in this case, because he doesn't understand. So what he sees is simply in a sense perception way. But the Adam who's a Chacham, if he would see it, it would destroy him, because he sees more. You see? So that's why he wasn't Nitin Rishus. So it's not because of the, it's not a Bizoyon HaAdam in the Nevuah, that the Asan sees more than the Adam, because the Asan doesn't have any Sechel. So what it sees, it doesn't understand. But Adam is greater and would ordinarily see more. But he has to be protected. Because of his Das, if he saw this, he can't handle it, so it'll become Titarif Daito. See, Titarif Daito. So the Chesed Hashem is to prevent him from seeing it. But it's because of his malyusa, because of his mila, because of his advantage. So the Nevuah does not portray anything which is contrary to the Seder Abriya, to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and the Kavod Adam. Okay? That's what Rashi is explaining. That's the point that Rashi is explaining.
You mean man couldn't handle his own rishus? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's right. Because Bilam, if he saw that, so that would be, he'd see this is a Mara Nevuah and this is a Malach Hashem, and it would be in stark contrast to his crazy state of the emotion. So the contrast would cause him to go off his mind. You see? He couldn't handle the trauma of instant recognition of the emotion. It would be, you know, he's being driven by the emotion on one side, and then there's a traumatic incident which tells him he's going to die. So that he went to his death, so he couldn't handle it. So that's why he wasn't given rishus to see it. But the asan just sees a figure, so he avoids it. It's just a practicality to him. He doesn't. So that's why, that's what Rashi's explaining. So Rashi's explaining that even in the mashal itself, even in the way it was set up, it was not contradictory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation and the Kavod HaAdam, that an Asan sees something and Adam doesn't. That would be contrary to the Ratzon Hashem and the creation, the Kavod HaAdam. So therefore he says, no, it's not a, it was to protect him. It's because he's a greater Chacham. Because he's a greater Chacham. That's why if he would see it at that moment, the whole Limud would never unravel and it would simply be shattered. So that's why he had to be protected, so that the Asan could handle it. He could not handle that, but he could handle it later as it unravels piecemeal, you see, and he gains knowledge, then he could do it. But if it was a sudden trauma, he couldn't, it would be Titarif Daito. That's what Rashi is explaining. But Rashi wants to show you that everything has to be with precision. Even the situation of the way the mashal is set up has to be in line, has to reflect the Kavod Adam and the level of Adam, in contradistinction to the level of a behemoth. So it can't be the Terah Hassan, a man doesn't see it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. He's given Rishus to see something, man not. That would be inappropriate. Even to use as a mashal would be inappropriate. You see? See, it's midas or emes as well. It's midas or chesed and midas or emes as well. That it would be against the midas or emes to have an asan see something that man doesn't see. The asan is greater than man. That's against midas or emes. So that's what Rashi says. No, it's because of his chachma. So it's not against midas or emes. Of course, it was Myla. He had to be protected.
There still was some perception that Duffy had over
there. Like, wait a minute, that's L'Shevach. Yeah. That's because of his Chachma. So it's L'Shevach that he didn't say. But that's what Rashi explained. There's one more thing I wanted to mention. I think it's an interesting thing that the whole Parsha of Bilam is one Parsha. There's no interruption. And there's no Psuchos and Stumos in between. You would think, like, each one should have its own identity, like Matov Alach Yaakov. Like you have in Chukas, for instance, you have by in Chukas, for instance, you have by so you have the Shira of the Be'er. So it's a separate Shira, a separate Parsha. Okay? But nothing is set off as a separate Parsha, Psucho Astumo, in the entire Bilam. It's an interesting thing. I think the reason is because, you see, when it was given intrinsically to Moshe Mesinai, so then the content sets off the parshas. So if the content demands a break, so it's different content, different shira, different parsha. So then it's set off as a parsha, as a psucho, as a stuma. You see, but over here, it couldn't be, because the whole nevuah, which became a part of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, was transmitted through one substratum of the Nevuah of Bilam, which was Vayikar. It existed in one substratum. You see, so that's why it couldn't be set off by content. You follow? It's an interesting thing, but it is an amazing thing that the whole thing, even though it's totally different things, there's an account, then there's the special mishalom, but this is the special mishalom, but nothing is set off because it all exists in one substratum, the substratum of Bilam's nevuah, which was Vayikra Elkemel Bilam. So Vayikra means that it wasn't meant intrinsically. It wasn't, if it weren't for the events, it never would have been realized. And because of the personality of Bilam and the whole situation. So it was Nevuah Betoras Chefza. The Gavra was a Chefza. It was a different kind of it exists in a different substratum. So that's why the whole thing is one Parsha. Okay. And in other words, the account and what he said is, in other words, the account and the content of the Mishalim are all one. It's all one unified idea. Because the account is telling you who Bilam is and why he received Nevuah, and therefore it's all in one framework. You see, it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu received Parshas. So it's intrinsically, he received it intrinsically, and now the content divides them up. But over here, the whole parsha is framed because of the nature of Nevuah's Bilam. So the account and the content are not separate. The content can't exist as a separate entity. So you follow me? It can't exist as a separate entity. Okay. As a matter of fact, for Limud, you need the Gemara and Sanhedrin, where Gemara says that every one of the things he said reflected what he really wanted to say.
Right.
You see, so it all came into existence because of Bilam, because of his nature. So the whole thing is all one entity. In other words, these statements and everything, even his statements, emerge from the same framework. They don't emerge independently, intrinsically, like Kola Tarakula, you see. So it's tied to the account. It gives it a different nature to it. the same nature as the account. Yeah, it fits in very well to what the Rav mentioned in the name of Reb Chaim. Lokom b'umos olam b'umos olam kam. Yisrael lokom b'umos olam kam. Right. Now the Ma'amil ben Bilam. So different. Because of him, a different substratum of Parshas, Parsha was created. Interesting thing. I mentioned it says Lama Rashi's by Vayechi, Lama Parshas Ustuma. Right? So the question is, it's not a stuma, there's no Parsha there. Okay? So what does Rashi say? But what I believe Rashi means is like this. That you see the Gemara says that the Gemara says that la olam yisayim adam parshiyosav matzibor yashlam adam parshiyosav matzibor. So it means you mava sedra together with the tzibor. So it means parshiyosav because every laning is broken up to parshiyos. You never start a kriya in the middle of a parsha. Okay, every sedra is always the beginning of a parsha, except for this one. This is the only one. So why is that so? That's what Rashi gives us. Why is that so? The answer is, it's a Kriya Niksiv. That really, in the Ksiv, it's not a Parsha. But there's a Kriya that it's a Parsha. And that's why you're able to do it. So what Rashi means, Lama Parsha Zustuma, that's what he means. He means it's a Parsha as a Kriya. Masora has it as a separate parsha, because otherwise it couldn't be Mava Sedra, and the Tzibur couldn't be Maschil, because that's Aloch and Parshius. Kriya Satar is Aloch and Parshius, and Olam Yashlam Adam Parshios of the Matzibur. You see, so it's Aloch and Parshios. So how could you do it? The answer is, it is a separate parsha, but it's a separate parsha in Tarsha Baal Peh as a Kriya. As a ksiv, it's one. That's what Rashi means. Lama Parsha is stuma. Why is it only a parsha in kri and not in ksiv? And that, then he gives his answer. The machlokas. Guys, right? So, yeah, so the one that helped me think about it, gave me the basis, was this goyim that explained, you know, his name was Chanech Chanech, I think, in Diktuk. He explained, what is the Tam Elyon? Because Reb Chaim says that you always say Tam Tachton, because Kol Pesukei Lo Paskin Marshan Lan Lo Paskin Lo. So but you take a look in the Tikkun, you see there's a Tam Elyon. Right, so where did Tam Elyon come from? Right? You know the answer. Where did Tam Elyon come from? No? So this guy answers like this. Says, there's a pasuk, and you take a look at a pasuk in Vayishlach. It's in, all right, it's after Shishi. After Shishi in Vayishlach. So, what? Yeah, because the question is, once again, the question is, where did Tam Elyon come from? Reb Chaim says you must always learn Tam Tachton, because Kol Pesukei Lo Paskin Marshan Lan Lo Paskin Lo. So now how to do it. So where's Tam Elyon come from? Right? So this going answer, I think his name is Rav Chanoch Henoch, I think what was his name. But he answered it from, he says, you take a look at the Vayishlach. In Vayishlach after Shishi. So you have the Pasuk, Vayihi Bishkon Yisrael Ba'aretz Ahi, Vayelech Ruvim Vayishkav Esbilo Pilegesh Aviv, Vayishma Yisrael Vayiv Vnei Yaakov Shnei Masar. So you have a parsha right in the middle of the pasuk, right? Now, if you take a look carefully at the pasuk, okay, Vayehi Bishkon Yisrael Baaretz Ahi. So Vayelech Ruvain. Now you see on Vayishkav there's a different. There are two trups, okay. On Bilhah there's two trups. On Pilegesh Ovid, this two tropes. On Vayishma Yisrael, this two trop. So he explains why. Why is that so? So he said like this, because the Kree is, oh, here's the opposite. The Kree is really one pasuk. Right. But the Ksiv is two, because there's a Parshin in between. Right. So therefore you have two sets of trop, one for the Kree and one for the Ksiv. You see? Right? Because trop is a part of the Masorah, the Mesinai, that there's trop. So if it's a Kree and a Ksiv, so there has to be a trop for the Kree and a trop for the Ksiv. And that's exactly what you see here in the Pasuk. So it goes like this. It goes, if you lane it our way, the Kree way, I mean our way, the way we lane. So it goes like this. Vayelech Ruvain. Vayelech Ruvain, Vayishkav es Bilho Pilegesh Aviv, Vayishma Yisrael, Vayuvnei Yaakov Shnei Masor. So the Esnachta is on Vayishma Yisrael. So if the Esnachta is pushed off to Vayishma Yisrael, so then you have to have a Pashto on Vayishkav, okay? Kadma Pashto, and Bilho again, and Pilegesh Aviv is Orkev Katan, and Vayishma Yisrael is Tipcha Esnachta. Correct, but if it's if you go by the ksiv and it's an end of a parsha, the parsha is the end of the parsha. So the end of the pasuk is Vayishma Yisrael. So then it's the other trop. Vayelech Ruvain, Vayishkav es Bilho Pilegesh Aviv, Vayishma Yisrael. Okay. So he showed. So you have two sets of trop, one for the Kree, one for the ksiv. So he says that's the mistake everybody makes. That they see that there's trop for the Aseres Adibris, the Tam Elyon. So they see the Tam Elyon. So they think that what would it be there if not to lane it? No. The reason why it's there is because it's Aseres Adibros is a Mesorah. That it's Aseres Adibros. Okay, so there's a trop for breaking it up into dibros, you see, and then because that's a mesorah, so that's and then there's a trop for the kree for the psukim, you see, so there's a trop for the dibros and there's a trop for the psukim, so that's why you have two trops, not because you're supposed to lane it that way, because you see over here also you have two sets of trop and you only lane one way, you see. So the trop is there because there are dibros. So right. So the dibros. So the tam elyon is a tam for dibros, but anochi and loyi are combined. Because the chazal say that achas diblekim shtaim zushemanu that anochi and loyi mipi agvura shamo. So they were unified into one, but it really is two dibros. It really is two dibros. So that's what he said. This going, he explained that that's the reason for the Tam Elyon. That's the Tam Elyon. So that's what I wanted to say. That Vayechi is the opposite of what you have in Vayishlach, because in Vayishlach it's really two parshas, and the Kree is one. But over here it's one parsha, and the Kree is two, and the Kree is two. It's the opposite. Okay? All right. No, but you understand very well that psukim is how the Kree is meant to be. Kol psuk lepaske Moshe is in terms of the Kree as a psukim. Kree. I mean, Dibros is a separate idea. It's a different entity. You know what I mean? The fact that it's Dibros has nothing to do with Kol psuk lepaske Moshe. Kol psukim lepaske Moshe means how he taught us to read the psukim. That's the Kree. The fact that it's dibros is different. That has to do with Maamar Har Sinai. That has to do with the fact that the Aseres HaDvarim, the ideas that were transmitted at Sinai to the Nevuah of Klal Yisrael at Sinai. I mean, the whole Nevuah, the whole Maamar Har Sinai. So that's there. It's the dibros is the essence. Okay, in the event, the dibros are the essence. But in the Kriya Sapsukim, the Kriya determines Kol Psuk LaPaske Moshe. I mean, it has to be that way.
Just to clarify,
I mean, what I would say is like this. The Aseres HaDvarim is in terms of the content, the ideas of the content, but the Psukim is something else. The Psukim is something else. Yeah, the Psukim, of course, reflect the content, but the Psukim are something in their own right.
Like the event of the...
See, the Kri is the account, how the account is supposed to be transmitted. That's the Kri. But the Dibros is, in the account, there is a something, there's an existence of a of another entity because of the content, you see. So another entity exists there, which is the Dibros, you know, which has to do with the event, actually, and the Mesiras HaMisinai, the Maimar HaSinai. That's right. That would explain why the Anochi and Lo-Yi are one because of the event. Because that's in the event it was one.
But then...
The content and event, we mean the same thing. Okay? And the account is really the Kri. So there's a special method of transmitting the account. That's the Halach of Kri, how you transmit the account. That's called Psukula Paskim Roshon, not Paskim Lo.
Why do they have a
Tom
Tachton for
the Eschon? Back and forth. My son went for a bar mitzvah suit. So he had a hard time getting a suit. Couldn't find a suit. So finally went to this place. Yeah, so basically, I wrote a pshat to him. He's the one that gave me the sefer. Shlomo Zalman Fleifman. Somebody raised the question that the... Now, what's the nafkamina between the klala that HaKadosh Baruch Hu averted from Bilam and Vayafach HaShem L'Kecha L'Chas HaKlala L'Vracha? So on that score, the Ashgacha intervened and prevented Bilam from being Mekala. And however, with regard to the Benos Moav, which resulted in a Magefa, that the Ashgacha didn't intervene. L'Choy Yotzcha. So L'Choy Yotzcha, he was successful. Bilam was successful. L'Choy Yotzcha. Rashi says, that was the Eitzah. Malacha l'asas maya Eitzah, Elekeim shel elu sone zimo, K'nisa b'chelek. Alright? So it says, and the Rashi and the Pesukim later, Hein heino hayu b'dvar, hayu l'vneso b'dvar Bilam. Okay. So so you see that it was his Eitzah, and that he was able to do. So why did not HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect Klal Yisrael from that too? So we answered as follows. We said that there's two different types of nisyonos. Now one type of nisyon is where a person simply encounters the instinctual. Has to encounter the instinctual. Okay. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't intervene. That's the Benos Moav. That's the Iznus. But there's another kind of Nisayon where a person who has superior knowledge, when he sees someone that's of a lesser stature or on a lesser level, so he can, through his superior knowledge, trip the person up and succeed in driving them off course by conveying certain knowledge to them that they're not ready to handle at that moment because they haven't attained a certain level. You see? That's a different kind of nisayon. You see, and that's what Bilam was hired to do. Okay, so Chazal say really in Chelek, says all the things that he said were really, his intention was to say evil, but it was converted for good. And all those things, if you look into the Gemara Sanhedrin, you'll see what they were, basically. They were Rashi, I don't think, quoted it. But they were all things about it. Interesting, give me more chelik there. Gemara Sanhedrin. Yeah, that... and it's true, by the way, on an individual level, too. That a person who was in search of the truth, he might be on a first, second level. And someone who has an evil person can give him certain knowledge that he can't handle at the time and drive him off the course and make him an apikaris because he simply doesn't know how to handle certain questions. So, I mean, that's very true. I mean, that's why Chazal say that a person has to be careful in his course. I mean, towards the emes. I mean, it's a road that's fraught with dangers. So you have somebody. I mean, I know a case like that where somebody was an honest fellow, but he encountered an apocryphal professor. And the professor asked him certain questions. He wasn't ready. He was not on a level to answer those questions. He became an apocryphal. So an evil person can drive a good person off course if he presents him with certain information that at that moment, at that stage, he's not ready to handle. He can't handle it. He's not on a level to handle it. So that kind of knowledge, that kind of information could be disastrous. You see, and that's what Bilam really intended to do. That's what he intended to do. So the Gemara says that in Chelek, Gemara says on Daf Kufayim Beis, Gemara says Amar Biyachim mi berchaser shalosa Rasha to lomid mahaya belibo bikesh lomar shalo yilem bate knesias bate midrashos. So he said the opposite. Matovu lach Yaakov lo tishre shchina lam. He said, "Umishkinasecha, Shchino, Mishkinasecha Yisrael, lo tei malchusan imshechas." So he said, "Kinecholam itayu," just the opposite. Lo yehi loem zeis mukramim, kiganas aleinor. Lo yehi reicha nodef, kaolim not Hashem. Lo yehi yeloi lohem amalochem balekoma, karazim alemayim. Lo yehi lohem melech ben melech, he's amayim idoliyav. Lo tei malchusan shalatas bumos, v'zar b'mayim rabim. Lo tei azam malchusan v'yomer gag malko. Lotei Amos Machuson, Vesinase Machuson. Amra Baba Barkana, Kulam Chosrula Klola, Chutzmi Bate Knesis, Umi Bate Midrashis. Shenema Vayafo Hadashem Lakecha Lachos, a Klola of Rocha, Kehav Hadashem Lakecha. Klola, the low Klolos. Amazing Chazal, huh? Yeah. So all those things, what does it show you? I mean, all those things that Bilam wanted to say weren't just things. He was a man of great insight, you see, and he knew the weaknesses, and he wanted to expose the weaknesses to Klal Yisrael at a young, when they were in a tender stage, see, an early stage, and they wouldn't be ready to handle these things. So he wanted to jump the gun and throw them into problems that they weren't ready to handle and destroy them. And the truth of the matter is, the things that he mentioned, they all came true except for one. It's an interesting thing. But all those things that he wanted to say, I'm going through each one now, but all those things he wanted to say was basically, had one general picture. The general idea was that Klal Yisrael can't succeed. They can't make it. It's too difficult. He didn't attack the program. See, he couldn't attack the program per se, but his attack was that the practicality will not work out. It's an impractical system, and he was going to point out why it can't work out. See, a malchus won't work out. You won't have good malachim. Can't be. Just not in human nature. And unfortunately, he was right. You see. He wanted to attack the world recognition. You'll never have it. Zaysim Kroman, you'll have Golos will come and make you desolate. You see. So he all the things he knew, he was going to point out in detail why it won't work. That would have broken the spirit of Klal Yisrael. So they wouldn't be able to survive. That was his plan. And even Bat Midrashos and Bat Knesios, he's going to show why that's not practical. So that's not going to work. Intellectuality, Bat Midrashos, not going to be. Can't. Man isn't constructed that way. Bat Knesios have the Hamon Am to support such a thing, not going to happen. The Hamon Am is going to be lost. He was wrong on those two. Yeah. But the other things he was right.
Underestimated the strength of Torah, I guess.
What he underestimated, and they were overestimating.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the what?
If I mean, in terms of Torah, value of Torah.
And why it didn't happen? No, Rashi says the Rashi. Yeah, but Rashi says the reason was. Rashi says that you mean why he was wrong over there. That's right. Rashi says. Yeah, Rashi says. Chutz mi batek nesu bat rejoshe shelo yifseku mi Yisrael olam.
Right.
So that's the pound of Ashgacha. Ashgacha. Because if that was lost, everything would be lost. There'd be nothing left. That'd be it. So that was a special Ashgacha. But that was really his, that was really his plan. I mean, that's what we were saying, we started to say, we didn't finish with the Chazal, but that was the idea. So you see, there's two different types of nesianos. But there's an nesion that a person can't handle. And that's why Chazal say, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu bo betrunya im b'riyosof. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come with a strong confrontation. You know what I mean? Against a person. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu knows a person can't stand up. He can't stand up to the emes. So he needs to be slowly guided. So, but that was his idea. That was Bill's idea. It was an idea. I mean, it wasn't nothing. I mean, it was a great idea, a great evil idea, but an idea, great idea, nevertheless. I mean, he knew what to do. He knew to break the spirit of the Klal Yisrael. That was his intention. Yeah.
Was his insight based on shortcomings within Klal Yisrael per se, or within any nation that would pursue?
He's just going to say that it's just not going to work. Just can't work. Nice plan, but practically it'll never happen. And you see how right he was. And Chazal, you see how right he was on all the things except one. He hit them all on target, every one of them. So exactly what the danger is, the weak spots. He sniffed them out. And he knew what they were. Amazing thing.
Right.
Now his plan was to break them down. They're not going to be interested in hearing it. Not possible. Okay.
It is
a klal in yadus, but sif seikon yishmeru das. I mean, that's the pasuk. The Torah yivakshu mipiyu. That after the kain is guarded, but he only gives out the knowledge as they're mavakish, when they're on their level. But he doesn't just give out the knowledge. Because if people aren't ready for a certain knowledge, it can be very detrimental to them. So, I mean, and then we mentioned also that that's really what you see, what Rashi's explaining about the animal can see more than the man. So Rashi explains that by the donkey. He says that it was passed by Gao. Yeah. Chav Gimel. Vatera Asam, Vula Rosh, Nasan Gajabaku Shusla Bamal Liris Yosaman Adam. Shemitok Shesh Bodas, Sitarif Daito Kishir Mazikim. So it means to say that he wasn't allowed to see. Not so. Of course, Rashi is showing you that the Derech Hashem is not to give a mushal that's opposite to his creation, to his plan. So the donkey can't see more than man. Man sees more than donkey. So how could you have a situation like this? So Rashi explains, no, it's lamal yusa, that he can't see because he knows too much. So he understands it. So that's why he needs to be protected. So, but at the same time, it's an interesting thing that concept that a person that's confronted with knowledge in the wrong manner, not as an unraveling process, step by step, but a sudden confrontation of knowledge, it could be titarif daita. It could be titarif daita. Tirfadas. See? So it's interesting that in the Maariah Nevuah itself, that Bilam had was the seed of why he was not allowed to go on the mission. You see, that was part of the Maariah Nevuah itself. That is an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. So you see that a Maariah Nevuah is constructed in a way that it has interesting elements in it. And that was really, in it was the very limud as to why he couldn't do it. Because he himself would have been tarf daito if the knowledge was just presented to him in one instantaneous moment. You see? Yes, yeah. Then the other thing we mentioned was the Tainus Umos Olam, right?
Right.
How did that come about? Oh, yeah, Aaron Katzman asked a question. The Tainus Umos Olam, that the Umos Olam, it says that Rashi says that Chazal say that why did Bilam have Nevuah? Because the Umos Olam, does Rashi call it?
Yeah.
Pesachimper. You should have Pesachimper. Yeah. That. They shouldn't have. Yeah, right. Eretz Bnei Amo. V'zei Mesnag Vomel Osa. In time, they marched Hishra Kadosh Baruch Shchinasa al Ovei Kochavim Russia. Kidei Shelo Yei Pischon Pella Ovei Kochavim Loma Ilu Hayu Lano Neviim Chazayna Lamutov Hemid Lam Neviim V'Heim Partzu Geder Olam Shebetchilo Hayu Gedurim Barayis V'Zena San Lam Eitzo Lafka Atzmal Aznos. So Rashi on the surface is contradictory. Because, so now the Umos Olam have a good time again. What kind of a Navi did you give us? That's not a good Navi. If we had a good Navi, it would be Chaz B'Tshuva. Right? I mean, it's contradictory. Rashi says himself. It's a contradictory statement. That they were given a Navi like Bilam. Fine. So what do you expect? That's it. So, yeah. But the answer is like this. So we said the answer is no. The answer is that it wasn't, truth of the matter is that why do they need the Nevi'im? I mean, we have Nevi'im. Let them use our Nevi'im. What do they have to have their own Nevi'im for? What kind of a time is that? I mean, the whole system is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is Mamlechas Kahanim V'Gai Kadosh. So that's the system. So why can't they come to us? I mean, that's the Gula, the Nevi'im of the Gula Asidah, that's the whole thing. With the Melech HaMashiach, and they'll all say, let's go to Beis Yaakov and learn Torah from Klal Yisrael. That's the whole lost level. So what's wrong? What's wrong with that system? I mean, but the Pshat is not. The Pshat is that there's two things in Nevuah. You see, the Rambam says that Nevuah is really a Yisod. He has it in Yisod HaTorah. In the very, I think it's the last one in Yisod HaTorah. Shakarish Bachum, last one? Shakarish Bachum, last pick, right?
Seventh?
What was it? Okay. But it's in Yisod HaTorah. It's Yisod. The Yisod is Shakarish Bachum and Nabeis B'nei Hadam. Shakarish Bachum and Nabeis B'nei Hadam. So that is a Yisod. It's a metaphysical essential point. So it means that if you don't have that yisod, so then you're at a disadvantage. Because that yisod really reflects a whole different idea of knowledge, a whole different concept of knowledge. What knowledge, what human knowledge is. So man is really at a loss in evaluating human knowledge. How can we evaluate human knowledge? We ourselves are the evaluators, but that's not a good evaluation. Subjective evaluation. Does man have knowledge? I see to this day, there's schools of philosophy which maintain that our knowledge is nonsense. We have no knowledge. Skeptics, different, various philosophical schools, man's knowledge is nothing. No, man's knowledge is great. No, there's no such thing as induction. There is. I mean, all these various philosophical questions. So that is a big philosophical pit. The human knowledge. So without the yisod, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu menabeis b'nei Adam, that when a person reaches a certain level that he's allowed to receive Chochmas Hashem through a special agency, through a malach, that's the malach, special agency that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has prepared, created for him. So that is a whole different realization of what knowledge is. So Nevuah comes under two frameworks. Nevuah comes under Hashgacha, and it comes under the Yesod, Shakash Baruch Hu Menabes Menei Adam. Two different frameworks. Yeah, one framework we're familiar with, Vayishlach Malach Vayetzeinu Mitzrayim. That's Hashgacha. You see? But there's another idea of Nevuah, not just Hashgachas Hashem, but the Yesod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menabes Bnei Adam, that's a different concept, and it's more significant than the Hashgacha. More significant, because that's the Yesod. You see, I mean, of course, the Hashgacha is a Yesod as well. But, I mean, insofar as an Adam is concerned, The Yesod of Nevuah is I mean, the Ram says, if I'm not mistaken, the Ram says in the Mara that's the second most important idea. So that's why he says Malachim. He said Malachim, second most important idea, because it's Nevuah. So Nevuah is on a higher level. It's even more significant for man to have a knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menabes Bnei Adam than Hashgacha. Of course, everybody goes to Hashgacha because they have the personal reasons. But in terms of the actuality, the philosophical value, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menabes Bnei Adam is more essential, because it's the whole concept of what Adam is. What Adam is, his whole essence. And it's Chochman, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu entitles him to enter into a realm of receiving knowledge from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yedei Nevuah. I mean, that's an unbelievable thing. So the Umos HaOlam, that's the Tain of the Umos HaOlam. Tain of Umos HaOlam, it was not insofar as Hashgacha. You see, if they didn't have any Nevi'im, so then they would think Nevuah is only Hashgacha. It's only Hashgacha. So that's why only Klal Yisrael has it. So that would be fine. That would be fine. So there wouldn't be any Taina, because that's God's system. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's true. But they wouldn't know. They think it's only Hashgacha, and they wouldn't know it's the Yesod. Because otherwise they say, how come we didn't have it? If it's the Yesod in Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menabes Bnei Adam, doesn't say, Ram's Lashon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menabes Bnei Adam. Doesn't say Yisrael, Bnei Adam. So that's the Yesod in Adam. So therefore, if they would not have any Nevi'im, so they would say Nevi'im is just Hashgacha, but it's not a Yesod of Nevuah, then they'd be missing it. Then they'd have a good justification. And they say, we didn't know, we had no idea of the status of human knowledge. So we didn't pursue it. We didn't, what does a human being know? I mean, he's a worthless creature. We have an excuse. If we had Nevi'im, so then we would be different, because then we'd recognize the Yesod of Nevuah. But we didn't have any Nevi'im, so now it's just Hashgacha. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Nevi'im. So they had the Yesod. But unfortunately, their Nevi'im showed them that they're Roy for Nevuah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Nevuah, but nevertheless they weren't fully worthy of it, because you see what their Nevi'im did, see what their Navi did. So if they look at it objectively, they'd have to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Kavayachol, extended himself, showed chesed towards them, and gave them the voice, so they should have the realization, you see, of the recognition of the Yesod of Nevuah. Even though, in fact, it's a big question whether they're worthy of it, because look what they did. So, on the contrary. So then now they have nothing to reply. What could they reply? Baruch Hu went over the Midah in order to teach them the idea. And that you see from the fact that that it was Paris Geder Shalom. So that's the pshat in the Chazal. Okay? Right. Yes. And that's why Tfilas Moshe really was different. Tfilas Moshe was that they shouldn't have any Nevi'im because that would be bad for Klal Yisrael. That would be bad if they had Nevi'im, bad for Klal Yisrael, because that was Tfilas Moshe or something else. It wasn't that they shouldn't have the idea that there's Nevi'im. But if they had Nevi'im, so then they would use the information to harm Klal Yisrael, and also Klal Yisrael would not have had that additional support that was necessary, that the Hashgacha is exclusive to Klal Yisrael. It was necessary, apparently, to have that support, for Klal Yisrael to have that support. Otherwise, they would have faltered. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel. That the Muslim should not have Nevi'im, because he knew, as a leader, that his people needed this. It was weakness of Klal Yisrael. But he knew the weakness, and therefore he was mispalel that the Muslim should not have Nevi'im, so that Klal Yisrael should succeed in spite of their weakness. Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I told you. Bilam, you can't just say so simply Bilam lacked. I mean, it's not such a simple thing. Everybody likes to put a Russia in a position where they can eject them from their soul. But you really can't do it. That's an infantile thing. I mean, you want to be able to say that he's a Russia and I wouldn't have done this. It's a self-justification emotion. That's not the way to look at Bill. I mean, I told you, Bill said, "And Yitnli Bolak Malo Veso Kesavizov, La'ucha Lavar Spiat Hashem Alekoi." I mean, Hashem Alekoi, he said, Lasos Ketano Gedola. And he was all made in the biggest Nisayon, that big people who consider themselves tzaddikim would fall through. I mean, that he had the whole world at his feet,
yeah.
And he threw it away because Lo'ucha Lavaros Piyad Hashem Alekoi, and he had Bechira. And we know he had Bechira. So you can't just write him off. If you do that, you're not really doing him justice. That's not what the Torah intended to do.
Right. I'm not writing him off, but it's still Vayikar.
Yeah, it's still, that's right. But it's a complex matter. It's not a simple thing. He's not just a Russian. He's not just, I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm even going to Rashi. Not a simple matter. Not a simple matter. Most people, like I said, people would not be able to withstand the Nisayon of Bilam. He was not an ordinary Russian. He's not just an ordinary Russian. I mean, Chazal call him a Russia. It's true, he's Russia, but he's a Russia. God can judge him as a Russia. The average person, today would never be omed in the Nisyonos that he was omed. You see, he was a very high-level person. So for the Umos Olam, it wasn't that God gave a Russia Nevuah. I mean, that's true. That would be misleading. That's true, that would be misleading. But it's not so simple. It's not so simple. He was a high level person. Yes, go ahead.
Don't the Umos Olam, can't they have
two types of
Nevuah? Yeah, I mentioned there's two types of Nevuah. There are two types of Nevuah. One type of Nevuah is public Nevuah, and the other type is private, the Rambam says. Private Nevuah is a different thing. That's really Shekar Shema Baruch Hu Menabes B'nei Adam. It would seem to go on all B'nei Adam. So, but the Nevuah we're talking about is a Navi that has a public position, public purpose. Okay, that's two different types of Nevuah. But you need the public in order to have people aware that he has a Nevuah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That Yesod is a very important Yesod. And I can't explain the importance in a few sentences. I mean, it's a deep idea. You have to think into it. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menabe Es B'nei HaAdam throws knowledge into a completely different realm of human existence. I mean, that's all I could say about it. You have to think into it. But that's what it does. It's a completely... It takes the whole realm of human knowledge and human perfection as well, and places it in a completely different position than a human being ordinarily would perceive it. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be off or something?
But since you mentioned the type of person Bilam was, I just wanted to. I can't give you an assessment of Bilam, but there's certain things we could say about it. And one thing we did mention was that what type of a person was he? That no doubt he was the person that everybody would like to be like. If he were existing today, he'd be the most admired individual. He's the person that has everything. He's the person that has knowledge, scientific knowledge, philosophical knowledge, psychological knowledge, political knowledge. He's success, fame, fortune. He's the man who basically has everything. Okay, somebody mentioned the Renaissance man. Okay, could be. But basically, that's what he was. He was the individual that would be most admired. In today's world, he would be the icon. That would be the model. It's an interesting thing. But so the question was, so what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? He has everything. He's a chacham. He's not lacking in chachma. He's not lacking in insight, marvelous insight. I mean, brilliant mind. What is lacking? What's lacking in him? So we said that what's lacking in him is what the Navi says. Ki im bezos yishalom yishalom. See, everything with him was an acquisition. He had everything. Person, just because a person doesn't study lishma doesn't mean he can't gain knowledge. That's not true. And he had tremendous knowledge, tremendous ability, success. I mean, what everybody wants. I mean, but everything that he had was served one ultimate purpose. That was to be his acquisition. Everything was an acquisition. And Yadus is exactly the opposite. Yadus is exactly the opposite. Yadus, nothing is an acquisition. But Hashem Aratz Malala. A man's knowledge is, okay, what we're saying in Tfilis in the morning, that the, what's Lashon HaTfil over there? That's the philosophy of Yadus. That there is no acquisition. Because a human being, no matter how great he is nonsense. I mean, like we mentioned, I mean, even if he's a great mind, he's usually a great mind in one area, one topic, one subject. He has to, in order to be great in a subject, he has to immerse himself in it fully. And even if you be one of those rare individuals that can just span all subjects and have insight in all of them, he's limited to the knowledge of his times. And centuries go by and things he said look ridiculous. And people scoff him. I mean, they don't understand him, but his knowledge sounds absurd. So, man, a human being is basically chachamim. The biggest chachamim means the real chachamim. It's talking about a person that's a fool. Real chachamim, kivli mada. Nevonim, the biggest nevonim, kivli haska. See, that's antithetical to the Bilam personality. The Bilam personality, everything is the greatness, his greatness and his acquisitions and his abilities and his talents. I mean, all everything served the function of producing one kind of an entity, an icon. See, that's the hefech of perfection in Yadus. So that's the opposite. That's why Chazal compare from Avinu, Ma'bein Talmid of Shol Avram Avinu Talmid of Shol Bilam. So Avram Avinu is Vanochi Yof Avefer, the recognition that there's no nothing, no acquisition. So that's really that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. Nevertheless, I still say that were he here today, he would be the most worshipped and admired person on the planet. That would be the person that can span all areas of knowledge. and including political knowledge, and being an advisor, and having chachma in every respect, and being successful monetarily, fame-wise, every single and every and every and every pursuit. That's the individual that that he was, and that's an individual we're here today. People would simply fall at his feet. But that's, so you're not talking about a small individual. Not talking about a small individual. So you see, so Yom HaSolom can't complain. That's what I'm trying to say. Yom HaSolom would not complain about it. Yeah. Okay. But this is really the picture of according to Rashi. But the Rambam had a different idea, it seems, of Bilam. The Rambam had an idea of Bilam that he was a personality that moved in and out of perfection. A different concept. The way Rashi's pshat is that he was a stable individual, but his personality was made up of various trends. And a certain profile, a fixed profile, emerges, you see. But the Rambam had a different idea. The Rambam said he was really an individual that went in and out of perfection. Sometimes he was great, he was truly perfect, and sometimes he was truly evil. Slipped in and out. You might say like a philosophical schizophrenia. But it doesn't really explain him at all. You can think of a term, but the term doesn't do it any justice. It is something that is difficult to understand, and like we mentioned, perhaps the idea is distasteful that the person can reach such a level of perfection and yet slip out of it. But apparently, the Rambam was a person of great insight, and the Rambam knew it is possible. It is possible. For a person to slip in and out of perfection. So sometimes, according to the Rambam, Vayikra Elokim El Bilam, that it was Vayikra, was Mikra, it doesn't mean, it's not reflecting on the nature of the Nevuah, it's reflecting on the nature of Bilam. That it was a Mikra, that sometimes he was in, sometimes he was deserving, sometimes he wasn't. So he slipped in and out. That's the way the Rambam interprets. Completely different idea. That when his emotions were under control, then he was in the world of perfection. Reminds you a little bit, but on a much higher level, of course, of Alcibiades and Plato. And Alcibiades told Socrates, he said that when I'm in front of you, I see the truth. And I realize that everything is nothing, only knowledge. He says, but when I'm sitting in the Senate, it's gone. And then I feel the force and the power of the world and the glory and the greatness and the statesmanship and the all the forces of society. So it seems he was... There is a personality like that. There is a personality like that. And that's what the Rambam interprets. That's what the Rambam understood Bilam. Not too much more you can say about it. But it does show you one thing. It does show you that even with the knowledge, it doesn't mean the struggle is over. That's what it does show you. That, I mean, everything, like I said last week, is true in what we were saying this week, too. That everything isn't just about Bilam, it's really about us. I mean, it's a limud for us. So, it's an important limud. I mean, that is an important limud. That even though you have the knowledge, the journey is not complete. And a person can have it, and he could slip in and out. It's like it's possible with Bilam, it's possible with us too. So it is an important limud. As well as what we said before, that a person can be on a road and a course towards truth, but if he encounters a opposition, that is more advanced than he is, and that he's unable to handle. He could completely become an apicaris, go off the track. That's very, very, very true. I mean, all the limudim, all the things we mentioned today are true, really, are true for us personally as well. Not just, I mean, Torah is a limud for everyone. And it's wrong to isolate it and just say, this happened to Bilam. I mean, happened to Bilam, happened to us too. See, it's Bilam was a great soul, without a doubt. And it's a Musa Haskell for everyone that learns about the parasha. It's a Musa Haskell for the individual. That's an assoyan of the most difficult nature, because the difficulty is that a person doesn't usually know.
You move something. Something moved and went off, Rebbe.
Oh, okay.
Anybody know
what
it is?
Just redial.
Press redial.
That's it. You're on
again. Press redial.
Oh, bang
the table,
though, Ron. Maybe I saw what's called here. Maybe he has another wire.
Yeah, the other wire is also.
So, what do we have to do to get this thing fixed?
Redial won't go.
Then stop for a part and just press.
I mean, that Nisayon is really a catch 22 Nisayon, because a person doesn't know how little he knows till he has great knowledge. So it's very difficult to succeed in that Nisayon, because the person is not prone to believing that he's not qualified to enter into those areas, because he thinks he is. And the reason he thinks he is because he doesn't have much knowledge. So it's like it's a vicious circle. It's a vicious circle. I mean, the only thing that a person can use in such a situation, and that's the danger, it's a vicious circle. Because he doesn't know how little he knows, and he thinks he knows more than he does. So he's never going to feel, I'm not ready for that question. Right. So he's never going to feel that way. On the contrary. You'll very seldom find a person, if you'll tell him, you say, look, there's a big question that a big philosophical question in Yahadis. And let's say, tell him, you know, and I have the answer, but I don't know if you're ready for it. The person will insist that you tell him. The person will never say, don't tell me, I'm not ready for it. It's a very difficult thing, because the person doesn't really know, they don't want to, there's a lot of emotions there, the person doesn't want to believe they're not ready, you see. And also so psychologically it's a big problem, and philosophically it's a big problem, because they don't have enough knowledge to know how little they know. So the more knowledge a person has, the more he realizes how little he knows. And the more his own knowledge becomes devalued in his own eyes. So it's a very difficult thing. It's a difficult thing psychologically, because the ego of man is always very great, and no one wants to admit that they're lacking something. Lacking, especially in the area of knowledge, and it's also bad because philosophically they're not prepared. But the only thing that we have to help us in this area is really the Torah itself, and that's v'los asur achrei levavchem achrei einechem, and that's what the Rambam mentions, that a person cannot be olal adas, person cannot be olal daito. Ideas that are connected to Torah. And that's what I mentioned once before. I mean, I think I gave a shiur on it. So what does it mean? So how could the Rambam study every theory? The answer is that there's two types of olal daito. One type is where the person is really, he's ready, like he's ready to learn the sugya. That's fine. But he has to be on a very high level. But if he just wants to think about whether the sugya makes sense or not to him, whether there should be a cheskes mamon, I mean, for instance, does cheskes mamon make sense? We'll think about it. You know what I mean? Then I'm giving a marshal halacha. So then he's arbitrarily intuiting. Intuition is no way. That's achrei levavchem achrei einechem. So the moment a person, that's one thing a person has going in his favor, that Yahadis did point out certain guidelines. that if a person can sees that he's going into the area of what to him, in his subjective evaluation of this thing, you see, then he knows he's off course. Then he knows he's off course. That's one thing. I mean, it's not so simple to give an answer to this question. I'm just giving you that there is an element there. And the appeal to a certain kind of intuitive sense is really an appeal of apicursis. It's an appeal of apicursis. So the moment the person senses that this is the type of thinking that he's getting drawn into, he immediately knows that he's off course. But that's just one element. I mean, it is one element. It's not that simple. Not that simple. It's the hardest thing, and that's why you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to protect Klal Yisrael from that type of an attack. For that reason, that's what Navi says. Laman das sitkas ad Hashem, and Hashid le'reim zechor, ami zechor. Right, my yotz lecha bolak ben sipor, right? Menashitim, right? Laman das sitkas ad Hashem. So that's laman das tzidkos ad Hashem means the way of tzedakah, the way of tzedakah, and the way was to prevent people from being harmed by. It's called tzedakah for a reason, because that's tzedakah. That's to prevent people from being harmed from something that they're not ready for. They're not ready for. So that's Laman Das Sitkas Ad Hashem. So from that you learn the Chesed Hashem, that the person that's open to an attack that they can't protect themselves from. Okay? So we needed Sitkas Ad Hashem to save us. So that's Laman Das Sitkas Ad Hashem. So that's really the concept. But there's no easy solution to that problem. And today's world is a very big problem. And today's world is a big problem because you have people that it's a world where you can't really stop anymore. You know, you can't control it. In other words, you can't control the advance of knowledge because people are exposed to all kinds of professors, schools of thought. I mean, ideas, and you know, you really can't you can't protect anybody. So it's a big problem. It's a serious problem. See, I don't know what the answer to the problem is, but it's a serious problem today. And that's why you see young people many times, they reach a certain level and they go off course. They go off course. Of course, the bottom line of why they go off course is 99% of the time it's an emotional thing. I mean, it's an emotional problem and a psychological problem. And that definitely is, you know, a big contributing cause. Mm-hmm. But and you see it. Yeah. But the problem is that many times a person has obvious manifest psychological problems, and you can see by their behavior externally that they have problems. And nevertheless, they're not going to say that they're not fit to make philosophical judgments, but they aren't. But it's very hard for them to admit such a thing. So they violate that principle. Violate the principle, it's total destruction. There's no way they're going to make it once they violate the principle. But it is a major problem. The concept of the Klola of Bilam is a concept that exists today. And that really, we lose a lot of people because of that. We lose a lot of people because of that. Yep. Okay. Let me put it this way. I would say it's not just a deep understanding of Torah that you need. It's a different level of understanding and existence in Torah. Okay? See, that's also another mistake. That people always think, like people look at an Amora or a Tana, and they think that what they are, the good side of their nature, if you magnify it 1,000 times, you'll have a ton on tomorrow. But it's not true. It's not true. It's a different kind of a thing. Different kind. It's something completely different. And the person cannot know what it is. You see, he doesn't know what it is. So that's why the person doesn't know what he's lacking in perfection, because he never experienced any of it. So how can he know what it is? And that's really the vicious circle.
Saints.
He never experiences. No, he doesn't know what he's missing. But to answer certain questions, it's not just a matter of dry knowledge. It's much more than that. It's a matter of perfection. It's a matter of a different, deeper type of understanding of Torah that affects not just the mind, but it affects his inner world. It's a different inner world. It's a different inner world. Not the same. It's not the same experience. I mean, two people are putting on film, but it's not the same. It's not the same experience. It's two different things. Two people are being mispalled, but it's two different tefillas. I mean, as I say, Chazal's tefillas weren't better than ours. They were different. Different. Otherwise, the person imagine Chazal daven for 20 hours. I mean, it's crazy. It's not true. See, but it's different. It's something. It's qualitatively differentiated. That's the problem. And the problem is, people want to reduce things down to a matter of, facts would be a lower level, but even knowledge is something which is wrong. Just reduce it to a certain amount of pieces of knowledge. And then it's much more than that. So a person could be shattered if, on a certain level, they're exposed to certain knowledge which is really only possible to absorb, or on the contrary, usually that knowledge is usually a source of that motivates the person towards a higher level. If he's on the level, the knowledge is good for him. You know what I mean? It's something which increases the individual's perfection. But at the same time, if he's not on that level, it could be extremely harmful. I mean, that's something. The Klal of Bilam is something that you have today. It exists today. That Klal. And we don't have. We have a Yafa Hashem Akecha as a Klal of Racha, but in today's world, I mean, and not every individual is Roy Shiasal Anais. I mean, I'm not saying that. That there aren't individuals that are saved through Ashgacha, that's true also. But every individual is not right. Yes, yes. Yeah, it's a strange phenomenon. That's what Chazal mean. Lo'olam yasok adam tavar mitzvah filo shelo lishma, because he has no choice in the beginning, so he's attracted to it. But the truth of the matter is, the idea, there is one idea that a person can use, you see, that which is that there is a concept of a good, you see, a good. In other words, a person should look for that which is truly good. Truly good means that which is truly beneficial. Okay? So then he's not looking at it as an acquisition, but as the true good, which means that it'll benefit him in that his soul is existing in the manner that it's meant to exist, which means he will have to have a good existence. You understand what I mean? That idea is true. That is a correct idea. In that idea, l'man yitavloch. That's l'man yitavloch. L'man yitavloch means that there is a true good. So a person realizes he doesn't have it, so his pursuit should be for the real good. That should be the pursuit. The real good, which was meant for him, insofar as God designed him to live in a way that there is a good life for him. That should be the goal. That should be the goal. But even if he can't see anything beyond acquisition, if he's not on that level, I mean, that's already a level. You can't. I don't know if you can start on that level. But even if you, that is a level. That is a level. For a person to perceive that, it has to be, you have to have a certain amount of knowledge to perceive that level.
Right.
But that's what Chazal say, lo'olam, lo'olam. Lo'olam yasa garam, the Torah mitzvah, filish lashmo. Because you got to start, you're not going to start on that level even. That's a higher level.
One time I said, I'm trying to
lo'olam, because you always have to do it that way. That's right. That's what Rasul Islam says. Is there any way of life that in any way even closely gives a person the benefits of the Derech of Yahadus and Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs? There's nothing. Just on a practical level, there's nothing even near it. I mean, people are like lost in the woods. They can't even find their bearings. And just superficially, the Derech HaTorah as a way of life is unbelievable. And like I said, that's what the Navi says. The Navi laments that why did Klal Yisrael leave the Torah? Why did they find Mamatzo Asechem? It's in this week's Haftarah. Mamatzo Asechem Bi Avel Ki Rachakol Me'Alay. VeYelchu Achar Baros Nishbaram. I mean, just the plain life of Torah is an unbelievable. Just a person who doesn't live that life, he would live 100 times better than if he was left to his own designs, the average individual. I'm not talking about a great philosopher, I'm talking about the average individual. But the people that deviate are not the chachamim. Those are the people that are, you know, the average people. That doesn't make any sense. What's wrong? I can't imagine a person encountering a bad experience in Torah. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, Rambam says Nemara, it's possible. Because there's so many possibilities. They're a rare occasion. But In general, I don't see it's possible. Comparison. No comparison between a person that kept at the end of a person's life, if he lived a life of Torah. And I mean, provided he wasn't crazy. I mean, you know, the person can take anything and make it into a neurotic thing. But provided he wasn't crazy, really intelligently. With reasonable intelligence. You know, I mean, at the end of his life, if you'd evaluate the amount of psychological enjoyment that the individual had, and that derech, as opposed to the derech ha'olam, there'd be no comparison. Be no comparison. For sure. If you took a little bit of advice. Yeah, what I wanted to say was that we're in a position to answer a question that is a difficult one. But I think that now that we've arrived at this point, I think we could answer it. I mean, you know, this parsha, I mean, you know, like Ibn Ezra says, that it's, he says that, Yeshodos Amukum, lo Yevinam Kiyim Nesayim Mispar. And with regard to this area. And that's with regard to the Shiva Mizbachos, and to the, his attempts at being the Kalakar Yisrael. So I think we're in a position where we can answer a question. Basic question over here. The question is that why did he keep on trying? And then, of course, the third time he said, he says, Vayar Bilam, what's the question? Vayar Bilam, Titanum Hashem Lavar, so Vahal Kafam Kafam Kras Nachashim. Okay, Vayasha Salam Midbar Panav. Yeah, it's an interesting Vayashal Midbar Panav. Tirgum Unkelah says it means the Chet Eagle. It means the Chet Eagle. But there are many ideas over here, but I think there's one question we could answer. And the puzzling question is that how come he kept on going again and again? And what was the purpose of that? But I think the answer is that from what we've developed to this point, we've shown that he was, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and based on the Nevuah that he had and the ideas in the Nevuah, the whole approach, you see that his derech over here, there's a derech over here that he had, and that derech is, he mentioned on Shabbos, he mentioned yesterday. The derech is that he would not do anything that it was God's will that it should not be done, that it cannot be done. that would remove Klal Yisrael from the picture, not through ordinary realms of Bechira, because that, you see, he did. And that's why after he was not successful in his attempts to bring on a Klala, so then he gave the Eitzah, which was destructive. So you see that his modus operandi was to find out, he would not go against that which God would not permit, but that which God would permit, and which was, because it was Klal Yisrael's Bechira, and it was in the realm of Tzchar V'Onesh and Bechira, that he was going to do. That he was going to do. I mean, that was his line of reason. That was his approach. So we would, now, I mean, I can't explain why. But that's what you see was his intent. That was his intent. So, lo ucha lavar spira shemalikoi, lasas katana gadola, means, insofar as those things that he's restrained from that are outside the realm of Bechira, and God will not let that happen. That he would never violate. And he knew that he's enjoined from doing that, and he wouldn't do it. But short of that, anything which went under the norm, the realm of the normal, that he was ready to involve himself in and attempt to destroy Klal Yisrael. But he couldn't do it in the way that God prevented him from doing it. But in the normal realm, where it was possible, there he was intent on destroying them. And that was his whole mode of operation. So you see, so now that explains, and he had tremendous chachma insofar as Torah is concerned and insofar as Klal Yisrael is concerned, and he knew the whole system and where the weaknesses were. Okay. I mean, somebody mentioned yesterday, I think Mandy mentioned yesterday about Paro. It has nothing to do with Paro. Paro is a completely different story. It's like comparing the two, be like comparing a person. You say, what is philosophy? One person will say, love of wisdom. Another person would say, Plato, Aristotle, all those old philosophers, on the back of his hand. I mean, there's no comparison. So he knew in particular, he had a knowledge of the system of Torah and a knowledge of Klal Yisrael in particular and how the two fit together and where the weakness is going to express itself in specific. That's a completely different kind of knowledge. That's the kind of knowledge he had. And that was what his intent was, to say something that would destroy them, okay? That it would destroy them right then and there, because they wouldn't be able to handle it, you see. And he knew he was not allowed to do that. But, you see, every kind of statement is not the same. And his original intention was to find a statement that would not be in violation and that God would permit. That was his intention. See, not every kind of statement is identical. And you know, certain things he couldn't say, but it doesn't mean that there aren't other things that might fall under their responsibility to grapple with, you see, in the realm of their Bechira. And that's why he attempted each time. The attempt was to find something that he could say that would not be that which God would prevent and prohibit, because it's impossible for them to deal with that. And just like it was impossible for him to deal, he would be nitrad midaito. So that's not midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to find something which they would be culpable for, that they would have to, that God would determine that it's true, it's perhaps, it's something which is not an ordinary test of Bechira, but it might be something that falls into the realm of their Bechira. And that was what he was trying to find. You see? And he was unsuccessful. So that's why after two attempts, he saw that nothing, that there is nothing of that type. He said, Vayar Bilom Kitov Be'eni Hashem Levarech Es Yisrael. He saw that that whole sector, that whole group of ideas is not going to be accepted. Anything of that nature. But originally that was his design. His design was to find something of that nature, but that they could still be responsible for. So that's the explanation as to why he made these attempts. Okay. I mean, in dealing with a person like Bilam, that's the problem with dealing with all the personalities of Torah, which is that we aren't on their level, so you hear something, it doesn't fit into our minds, it's because of our shortcomings. So you can't go to the nth degree of the process, but you can learn certain things from them. So that's the point. Excuse me? Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a different problem. Problem is that everybody thinks that in their mind they can understand Bilam and his ideas. We can't. The Derech HaLimud has to be to try to gain what we can understand and to realize that you can't ultimately understand. So your question is not a question I can answer. And you have to understand what I can just give you a description in general of what it is. I can't tell you what was in his mind. I can't tell you. But the Chazal list certain individual items, but you have to understand them. It's just not just an arbitrary list. It's a specific list that has to do with specific weaknesses of Klal Yisrael and the structure of the Torah and the objective of the Torah. And there are a lot of ideas there. I can't go into that. I can just give you a general view of it. But I can't give you a specific insight. Can't give you the magical thing that he had that's going to do it. I mean, I can't do that. What? It's a knowledge of the Torah that he had a knowledge at this point of the Torah and the mitzvahs and the objective of Klal Yisrael and what's necessary for their survival and what their nature is and where the weaknesses are. I mean, it's a whole science, a whole different thing. There's two different ideas. I mean, the idea of God's will. Insofar as a human being understands it, it falls into two different categories. One is those things which God's will does not allow to exist, and those things which God's will allows to exist. Like I say, is it God's will that Klal Yisrael should exist? It's a different idea of God's will, and it's a different sense than saying God's will is that this should not exist. You say, is it God's will that Klal Yisrael should be over Averis? It's God's will that they should have the ability to do that. So there's a different meaning of will over there. It's a different meaning, not the same sense. Bilam's concern was not to violate God's will in the one sense. God's will in terms of that which God wills not to exist. Okay? That he would not violate. The other area of God's will, which is a different sense to it, is it has a different meaning to it. When we say, is it God's will that a person should live a just life, live life that's tzaddik? The answer is yes, but it's not a simple answer because it's also God's will that he should be able to live like a Russia. So you say God's will in that sense, it means it's a different concept. It means that it's in line with his creation of man, that he created man to exist in a certain way. So therefore when man exists in that way, so in that sense he fulfills God's will. Not that it's God's will that result should be that way. It's a different concept. It's a different concept of God's will. So that area, he had different ideas in that area. In that area, he had different ideas. About God's will, about Klal Yisrael, he had different ideas. And those are that kind of speculation, I mean, we can't go into. You just delineate the area. But you see, he was... he had a different idea in terms of whether Klal Yisrael should exist or should not exist. And that he had a different idea.
Really?
Yes.
It's interesting to note, though, that...
The way that Kodesh Baruch Hu has done a person is on a specific individual plane. Every yochid is different, and Klal Yisrael is different in different states of its existence, and everything is not identical. So the point that I'm making is that even something that belongs to the class of those types of things, which are not ordinary bechira, based upon the instinctual versus the intellectual, you see, but it's a different kind that comes from a different realm, where you're exposing a person to a weakness which he's not ready to deal with. Not all of those things are the same. I mean, there might be something which is a bit ahead of him, but he has the ability to handle it. I mean, it might be something which is acceptable, And he did not know. He did not know what the extent of it was. You see, I mean, that was why he tried, because he felt that the nature of that kind of a blow is different. And he wanted to deliver a blow from that category, but he did not know what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And that's why he tried. Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
Unfortunately, most people have a very shallow view of this. This is God's will, we should exist, and that's all there is to it. And I mean, they don't really have any real in-depth understanding of the whole concept. I mean, that's why people are very complacent. I mean, why are we so complacent for all these generations waiting for Mashiach? Well, it's God's will that we should exist, and just hoping that something's going to happen. Something's going to have to happen. I mean, it's a childish notion. I mean, most people do not. I know it doesn't talk, but I'm just telling you.
Did God ever take one nation from another nation?
I know all the things he says, but I'm just telling you that you can take everything that you read in the Torah and put it into a very immature way of looking at it. And Bilam was not that kind of a person. So I'm just saying these are not simple things. I mean, what is God's will is not a simple matter. Not a simple matter. You have to... He understood a little deeper than we understand it. And he was attempting to intervene in a way that would destroy us. But it's not a simple thing. Like, how could he do this? Because after all, there was Matan Torah. I mean, it's not that simple. I'm just telling you there are things that are deeper than our understanding. And I think we should recognize it. I mean, the last thing by Yashar Salam Midbar Panov was the Chet Ego. So, you see, he zeroed in on the greatest weakness. The greatest weakness of Klal Yisrael. I mean, you can study an area, but if the individuals that you are studying are greater people than you are, you're going to be at a loss at putting them into your simplistic categories. So you just can't do that. So certain types of questions are just not legitimate questions. And the only thing you can do is see what you can learn on your level. But you can't go, the mufrash, that's what I'll say, but mufrash mumchal tidrash. But you have to be able to recognize when you're coming up against something that's a mufrash. I mean, and you have to know that you have where to stop. I mean, but at the same time, you can proceed up to a certain point. It shouldn't prevent you from proceeding either. Okay, I mean, that's limud, but... You have to do it properly.
Right.
Yes.
Seek.
I mean, that's even as a saying. Big sodas over here, lo yavinom ki imisei mispar. Only a few people can understand these things. So, but that in general is a limud. That itself is a limud. That you have to know that you, when you're learning something, that because we're restricted because of our level, that you can't expect to put everything into our categories. I mean, our categories are very low. I mean, very low level of our categories of good and evil. And I mean, you see that from Chazal themselves, the way they describe perfection. I mean, we're very, very, very distant from it. extremely distant from. And most people are not too far above the mundane. I mean, he talks about it, Rabbeinu Yonah talks about that. That, you see, the people are, we're very on a very low level, I mean. So we're trying to understand great people, and we're restricted by our categories of thought. But as I said, it shouldn't stop you from attaining the knowledge that is attainable. I mean, that is good. And that is part of what raises a person to a higher level. See, that process. But at the same time, you got to realize that certain questions are not answerable for us. They're just not answerable because of our limitations. Okay, it's good to recognize, though, that there is a bigger world than the one that we in our minds fathom. Much, much deeper. Okay. And that even the idea of evil that we sense is not the same idea of evil. That's the real idea of evil. That's not that way. It's our evil is mostly an emotional reaction for most people. It's not really a deep idea of what evil is. It's a shallow idea. But we work with it because that's our level. But we try to put everything into that category. But it is a big mistake to think that that's really what it is. We lack an in-depth understanding of even the idea of evil. We lack an understanding. We think we understand it. We think we can sense it. But when you think you sense something, you know right away you don't know it. That's a good marker. That's good, right? that much you can say. Okay. It's not a question like an Alcibiades mentioned. Not a question of externals. It's a question, I mean, when he was in the presence of Socrates, he was the greatest lover of philosophy and ideas, and he recognized everything else as total nonsense. So, and at that moment, there was no difference between him and another person that loved truth and loved the philosophy. But there was something wrong internally that would allow an external situation to affect him. I mean, but that's a certain weakness. That's a certain weakness. But it's always internal. It's not external. It's internal. It's an internal thing. I mean, his nisayon is a different kind of nisayon than an ordinary person has. Different kind of nisayon. I mean, a great soul has greater nisyanos, different types of nisyanos. It's different. We have to recognize that. Okay. I mean, Acher had a different kind of nisyanos. Not the kind that, even though it went off derech, but a different kind of nisyanos. There's no guarantee in this existence, even for a great person. That's why, for instance, I mean, that's one of the marks of Yadus, and like the Rambam says, the Das HaEmes, which is our religion in distinction to religions. I mean, this is Das HaEmes, because this is really the truth. Because you see, like a Navi, there's a law for a Navi to be Kavish Navosa, it's Chayav Misa. A Navi? There's a Navi needs a law like that for? He's a Navi, he's Navi Hashem, he's on the highest level. Apparently, it's not so simple. Even a Navi Hashem, you know, on the highest level, he has his own nisyanos. There's no easy path that you just get to when you go move out into a field where
smooth sailing.
Yeah, correct. There's no smooth sailing. It's different sailing. It's different sailing, not smooth sailing. But everybody imagines that, you know, this person's such a tzaddik, they project what it means to be that a person is a tzaddik, but it's an infantile projection. It's not realistic. And you see, from the Torah, it's not realistic. See, the greatest individuals, including Rabban Shimon, including Moshe Rabbeinu, including Miriam and Avila. I mean, you see, the Torah doesn't spare anybody. Zochar is Asher Hashem Lekach LeMiriam, and to make a statement to use it to show the issue of Lashon Hara and to expose a terrible weakness in Hara. I mean, you see, the Torah does not believe that doesn't have this infantile notion that, you know, a person is a big tzaddik, that's it, he conquered it. Not so simple. It's different nisyonos. It's different nisyonos. It's better to be in the upper realm. But there's no free sailing. It's a different kind of experience. That's why you see by a Navi. Navi Hashem is. See in Nach and in Nevi'im. You see how Nevi'im went off. And was that Navi that lost his life because he went to the Navi Hashekar? I mean, these things are not simple. One thing went through that. I mean, it's not such a simple thing. Don't think that a person is a... the only thing you could say, like Chazal say, that in Ra'isa Tzadik, you see Tzadik that is over there, Bayom, so he's definitely his Mahar B'tshuva. That's the nature of a perfected person. He's always reliving his experiences, and he's always rethinking his experiences. And his whole mode of operation is different than the ordinary individual. That, you could say, that's the godless Adam. But to say that he's free, he's just on a free course, and everything is just smooth sailing, that's an infantile projection. There's no such thing. There's always nisyanos. But the tzaddik does operate differently. That is definitely true. There's a qualitative difference. Because the tzaddik is the person that's constantly revisiting his actions and his deeds, and the Rasha is oblivious. And he's just on a course. He's on a course, a single course. But the tzaddik is on a different kind of a course. It's a different kind of a course. That much you could say, that's the only thing you could say definitively. Not the other idea, simplistic idea. Not a simplistic idea. Torah is not simple. Because the emes is not simple. Okay. About that, I can't say much. About the Yodeh Das Elyon is L'chavin HaShos.
Right,
Shekoyes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right. And the whole law is Chazal, that God was in Koyes, and you read it. That, all I can tell you is that's a metaphor for the existence of Klal Yisrael, on the ideas of the existence of Klal Yisrael. That's what it means. I can tell you the area, you say, but it's just a reference. It's just a reference point. I mean, obviously, you have to be a great chacham to understand to understand the science of the area. But that's the area. That's the area. That's what Chazal means by that area. It means the existence that there is a certain tenuousness to the existence of Klal Yisrael, even though there is a havtacha, but there is a certain tenuousness to it, and it's not so simple, not so simple, not so simple. I mean, you see what does the Rambam say, that Zasidim Lasas Tshuva Miyarein Golem, but it's contingent on Zasidim Lasas Tshuva. I mean, it's havtacha like that. You know, what does Avtacha mean? These are not simple matters. Not simple matters. And I think at one time we spoke a little bit about Avtacha. So you see, even though Yaakov Avinu received Avtacha, still he was frightened. So Avtacha is not a simple thing that guarantee. People look at it like a guarantee. That's like a taking something that's a very deep idea and trying to put it into a simple category in your mind. You know what I mean? Like a child thing. His parent promised him it's going to be that way, and that's what it's going to be. That's not what Avtacha is. Avtacha is a much deeper idea. But that's one thing that what that is pointing to is that there is a certain tenuousness, as I said, in terms of the existence of Klal Yisrael. Not a simple thing. And he was trying to discover the way to cause it to have an untoward result. But how and what requires to be on a higher level. Okay? That's one limud you should take from this. You should be careful with people. That there are people that most people don't have very deep idea of Torah, and if you start shaking up their premises, then they lose their whole amuna, and you're not allowed to do that. You can't do that. Well, there's just one thing I wanted to add, because I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. When I mentioned yesterday about Bilam was involved in the idea of the tenuousness of the existence of Klal Yisrael, I didn't mean in a practical sense. I meant in a metaphysical sense. In a metaphysical sense. That's so. I just want to make that clear. If you don't understand what I mean, so just strike it. Okay. Well, there's just one thing I wanted to add, because I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. When I mentioned yesterday about Bilam was involved in the idea of the tenuousness of the existence of Klal Yisrael, I didn't mean in a practical sense. I meant in a metaphysical sense. In a metaphysical sense. That's so. I just want to make that clear. If you don't understand what I mean, so just strike it. Okay. That's an amazing thing. See, Chazal didn't need to bolster their security in Torah. They didn't need that. So they were true investigators. As a matter of fact, seeing the Gemara in the end says, "L'kuli isis l'pircha ba'mitrei," right? So who would say that? You want to knock these people off? I said that, and we knocked them off for 20 reasons, you know. But no, Chazal didn't need. They weren't insecure. So they applied their they used the usual method, which is applying their powers of analysis. So it doesn't make any difference if you have a different, everyone has a different dimension. I mean, that's Torah. That's what Torah is. We don't have, in Torah you do not have religious security. We don't have that. That's other religions. We don't have that. We have intellectual security. It's a different kind of security. It's the security of a chacham. So it doesn't bother us if you have five pshatim. Everyone reveals a different concept and is based on the Sodi Ados, and is a beautiful application. We're very happy with that. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong with more ideas. I mean, more interpretation. I don't know which one's right, but everyone is a beautiful interpretation. And it removes the question completely of the. I mean, in every idea. One thing becomes manifest from every idea that Chazal say. The superficiality and the inappropriateness of the simplistic approach of the tzedukim. And the demonstration that if you look a little bit beneath the surface, and if you have proper knowledge of Yehudas, you see how there are profound ideas woven into the halachic system. And once you're on the level of the profundity, the position of tzedukim is nonsensical. It doesn't need a refutation. Chazal, that's the refutation. That's why Chazal didn't care if you say that l'chulu is l'pircha b'mitrei. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, it's the level of analysis that reveals a depth over here. And that's really what we are based on. We're based on the chachma of the Torah. That's where our security lies, not in the not in a fixed kind of a. People who look for religious security, look for fixed items. You see, that makes them feel secure. This is the only we look for chachma. It's a whole different approach, Okay, Chazal was speaking on two levels. One was Dama Shetosh L'Apikaris, and the other was the essential level of Avonas Chachmas HaKosov. So L'chulis L'Pircha means in terms of the Tzedukim. But in terms of Derech Machshava and Chachmas HaTorah, every one of them is a Derech HaChachma. But in terms of the Apikorsim, there's two positions that are irrefutable. They're speaking on two levels. Okay, because you have to know how to answer. That's a mitzvah also, separate mitzvah. Dama Shetosh L'Apikaris. But in terms of Chachmas Hashem, Chachmas HaKosov, that they're all good.